And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here in Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, F from the B, E-A-U-T, full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, Freedoms Phoenix, the Dark. You know, I was up fixing a power supply on one of the computers in Linux. I like Linux. I know power supply is the same thing on that, but when you test it, you just turn it on, it goes on. Hey, it worked. On. Damn it. I love on. All right. Who's another guy that's on, man? He's on it. Doug Scribner, on an update on WatchMyBit.com. WatchMyBit.com. I think that's a cool name to begin with. And we're going to hear all about it from Doug. In the second hour, Mikhail Weiser. Now, he is the Arizona Normal head of marijuana here in Arizona. And it's getting to where, you know, do we still got to keep passing all these initiatives? Can't we just make it legal to inhale? Well, not like I was waiting on them to decide. But, you know, the one thing that we're looking at here in Arizona, it was 76% in the, like, 96, 98. You know, boom. And then the legislature goes, you know, we don't like what the people said, so we changed it back. Oh, they should not have done that. You know, that became a thing. So, we'll see what happens. This time we'll get an update from Mikhail. Let's see if Doug's there. Doug, we got you?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Doug! Yeah, we got a little bit of background noise, but we'll muddle through.
There, I was waiting for the fan to go off in the hotel heater here.
Oh, okay. Where you at?
I'm in Marquette, Michigan, which is up on the Great Lakes, and it's only like 34 degrees right now, which is crazy, because in Minneapolis, it was 75 earlier.
34 degrees. Polar vortex of global warming. Okay.
Lake effect cold.
This is, what are you doing up there? That's not where you're from, is it?
No, I'm in Minneapolis. I'm traveling, doing some work, and so puts me into hotels all the time.
And I'm entertainment, like you'd have something else to do better.
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. Oh,
I'm editing a lot of videos from Anarcho-Poco. I'm getting those wrapped up. We're almost finished with all of them.
Oh, you're still working on them? Damn, yeah, that was a lot of work. That was a lot of work. The we'll go ahead. Did Donna go ahead and put up links to all the Anarcho-Poco things in the first hour? And just do the links. And certainly mine. We want to make sure they go see mine.
Absolutely, because it's like one of the best ones, and what a great, you know, Ernie, I have never seen you speak really before, not even at Porkfest, and you're really a good presenter. You presented a great, optimistic, positive, fun, you know, multimedia speech there.
You know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do an expanded version of that, kind of combine a bunch of stuff for Porkfest this year. You know, I'm going to be the first time I've done a, you know, like a PowerPoint, you know, at the Porkfest. So I'll go ahead and do that. Then Tone Vase had this really cool PowerPoint presentation software of the Greg. Did you see Tone's thing?
Prezi.
Is that what it's called?
Prezi.
Prezi?
Yeah, and it's amazing. But it's a pain in the ass for me because I had to pull the stills off of it for his presentation. But yeah,
Well, I'm going to go ahead. Yeah, I didn't think of that. But I could do, you know, still, here's the, you know, the PowerPoint thing for the video if somebody wants to edit, which I guarantee they won't. But, you know, to do the Prezi, yeah, that was That was interesting. I'm going to get started on that this week. And I'm going, okay, I want to use that software. But it's, yeah, it's just optimistic. I'm just kind of tired of all the pain. You look on the left side of Freedom's Phoenix, and you see Top Tech News. And if you just read that, you'll go, wow, the Jetsons are just around the corner, you know? So, but part of that, some of the Jetson stuff is watch my bit. You know, this is just, how long have you been doing that?
Well, we have been in a beta phase, a number of, you know, we've been out of beta for about a year. We were sort of in a, it's been about a year and a half, I think. We've been out of beta for about a year. We were in a beta phase, but really an operational beta where anybody could come sign up for about a year before that. So maybe about a year and a half to 2 years total.
Well, I remember it was, I think it was when you first started was January of 14, no, of 15, because that was at the Consumer Electronics Show that we were at, and Drew and I were covering the Bitcoin conference up there, and we posted some stuff on Watch My Bit. That was the first time.
Yeah, you know what? That's accurate, because that was when we had a different interface, and we have since got a brand new look, looking more like, you know, kind of a Netflix dark look right now. That we've had since July of last year. So, yeah, you were one of the early adopters, Ernie, just
early,
like Trent
said. Early adopter. You know, the thing is, I tell you why. Because I want to invest in this type of new technology. This is... See, what? Watch my bit. Let me give my, you know, 30-second spiel here,
yeah,
and you
please.
Can better me. The Watch My Bit is a, it, say it's YouTube, but instead of YouTube getting, you know, paid a big giant chunk of whatever advertising there is, and they might give you a little bit, and if it has, yes, Luke Radowski, you know, Rakowski, he goes like this, he says, yeah, if I ever do anything that has the word Hillary in it, boom, demonetized. He goes, it's amazing. And he goes, anything else that they don't like, they just demonetize. You know, we don't like that's too popular. Oh, that doesn't, you know, fit our, you know, kind of the drone coverage of the mind that we want to do. And I'm going, it's a PSYOP thing. And they go, we don't want you doing these kinds of videos because if you do them, you don't get paid. You know, so it's a monetary control mechanism. It's just another dial that they turn. Well, of course, Luke and friends, you know, a lot of people recognize this. But, hey, I mean, these are some of the things I want to talk about. So Watch My Bit is you have to use Bitcoin. It was another adoption of Bitcoin. And you go in and you put up whatever content that you want. You can charge as little as a dime, you know, for a view instead of, you know, click, click, click. So when you're watching it, you're supporting people that are doing it. So at the same time, who was doing video? John Bush traveled to New York to cover the Silk Road Ross Ulbricht trial. As he's doing that, he puts it up on Watch My Bit. So guess what? People are watching it. They're paying him a quarter, a dollar, or whatever for his reports. You do that enough,
but you know what?
You get paid.
But that money, John Bush did not keep himself. He donated it all to the Free Ross campaign.
Yeah, well, the point is you make money.
Right, for yourself or for others, and you can split to anyone and any number of people.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so that's a goodie part right there. All right, tell them about the split.
Yeah, this is really something we're realizing is one of the most valuable parts of our service. So the example I always give is the band with the keyboard player, the guitar player, the bass player, the drummer, the manager, the studio, and they can split with all these entities at once. So the keyboard player gets 50% because he's the best, drummer gets 5%, the singer gets 30%, you know, and they can split it all up to them. And so if anyone watches any video, each of those people get paid their proportion for every view, and that gets sent to their Bitcoin wallets every day.
You know, I've been to a couple of... You're always dumping on the drummer, man. I've been paying attention to the drummers, and I'm going... I went to see, what was it, Pink Floyd Experience at Celebrity Theater here. It was freaking awesome, and the drummer was awesome. Give that boy 51%! You know, I'm just like, you know, I just remember Doug going, yeah, sometimes you pay the drummer. And I'm going, I've been paying attention. Drummers need to get paid.
Right. Or the bass player. It's only 4 strings.
No, he did good, too. They did, yeah. Well, anyway, you can cut it up any way you want. And the thing is it's done instantaneously. You get paid right then. And I'm going, this is awesome. A lot of people don't see it. They're going, well, yeah, but I just go to you. Right. I go, No. This is the tech.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
How are you?
Good. Hey, have you heard of this documentary called End of the Road by Mike Maloney?
Wow! No.
It's all about, like, the Federal Reserve and the money thing. Do you know who Mike Maloney is?
Isn't he a silver guy or something?
Yeah, so I don't know who he is either, and his movie is on our site now, the full version, for like, $4, and I was curious. I mean, I don't know how long. It's been up there since about April, and I just put it on our front page because it's a silver guy, gold guy, interviewing Peter Schiff and Edward Griffin and all these folks. Really well done. I was wondering if you knew about it. Or I couldn't find it anywhere
else. It's the one that he was saying silver's going to go to $1 billion and so on because of whatever?
I watched half of it, so I don't really know for sure. But I was just excited to see that, you know, people are putting up high-def movies.
Yeah, no. Whatever he does, I've watched a lot of his stuff. He'll scare the crap out of you. Well, he'll scare you to buy more silver. All right, hold on. Here we go.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Watch my bit with Doug Scribner. Yay! Where we're going, there isn't any YouTube. The one thing that I want to make sure that we all... my big thing is investing in all this great tech that's coming and opportunities for us to leave me aloneism, because my big thing is that I've always wanted to make sure that we demonstrate that there is a need, a use, a desire, and a market for these kinds of things. Early adopters, that's what, gets it going, and it's still so inexpensive and easy to use to watch my bit, and the concept of artists get paid right, not later, and they actually get paid, and they're the ones that, but I'm wondering how Watch My Bit gets paid. You gotta get something out of this. You guys are doing like something. What do you get paid?
Yeah, we take a percentage of each view. So currently, we take 25%, but that's going to go down in the future as we roll out more. But still, that's much less than what YouTube takes, a lot less. So we're passing on most of the money to the artist, and then they can do with that what they want. And just so people understand, we're a Bitcoin-enabled video platform. So instead of watching an ad, you pay a small micropayment of Bitcoin to launch the video. And that money does not go to some corporate nameless, advertiser that Google throws at you. It goes to the artist, almost all of it.
And Doug! And Doug.
And we take some too. Yeah, we built this platform. And
well, this is how many videos, you just got this. You're not YouTube. You didn't start with the venture capital funds of a billion of nothing. You get this going and everything. And how many videos do you have posted?
We have hundreds and hundreds. It's been a while since I had Oliver pull the numbers, but it's over 700 videos and probably 300 artists. And a lot of it's, stuff that is niche stuff, which is fine. People don't need to go to my platform. People can take the videos and embed them into their own platforms.
That was one thing that, it's coming back to me. Oliver lives here in Phoenix or in the valley here somewhere. Then the idea, I think Doug, Derek Slopey helped a little bit with some of the coding on making sure it went on the video something, you know? Oh, yeah, it was the, something to do with the payment thing. And then we had, you know, so it's a community effort. Everybody's wanting to, you know, make sure this goes where, because I can see the benefit of it. This is something that's going to, somebody's going to get the, oh, my God, of where do I go with this Zapruder film? I go to, and they get to cut it up and chop it and say what it is, and then NBC gets whatever. So here on Watch My Bit, man, you got the cop beating the crap out of the judge with the, you know, the sheriff standing there and handing the baton to the whatever, you know, and you get some good like that. Oh, where do you want to put it? Watch My Bit, you know, and they say, I get paid today. Hell, nice. The newsroom's going to have to get some Bitcoin. So this is, have you had some breakouts like that?
Well, we've had, there are some videos that do well, you know, but it all depends on the promotion of the artist. Remember, we aren't a promoting or marketing platform. We're a distribution and a payment platform. So it depends on you, the artist, to promote to your own fans. So that being said, we do have John Bush's show up there, the episodes that you cannot see anywhere else. They're on Watch My Bit for $1, and all that money goes to help the Bushes with their next episode of Sovereign Living. I can announce this. Mark Edge, doing his own show, The Edgington Post, will be seen on Watch My Bit first.
Ah! Edgington Post?
That's right, baby.
Score.
So also, I can also announce this. Jeff Berwick's Entercast will be coming to Watch My Bit before it goes anywhere else.
I'm sorry?
Entercast, Jeff Berwick's show, is going to be our platform as an early release platform. Probably leave it up there until the next video comes out. Splitting it with the guests, learning and pushing Bitcoin out to the masses so they get it, understand it, use it, and start to adopt it.
You know, this is, I can see the natural growth of this in this environment of censorship and all the crap and everything. This is awesome. But, you know, two things we need to know. One, I'm like looking for that wiki leak of I got the footage of Luke Radowski gets punched in the face by Henry Kissinger kind of thing. Okay. So when you, that one thing, you go make a big deal. Woo, it's over here. Go get some. And you know that, and the NBC is just going to have to pay. So I'm just going, if somebody takes it, you know, some news station takes the feed and they run it. Is there any kind of copyright claim of anything, or, you know, take it down, or you're not allowed, or what happens then?
You're saying if we're accused of doing
no,
video?
No. I'm saying if NBC takes Watch My Bit, are you going to bitch?
You mean if they like download one of Lou's?
Yeah.
Luke's videos?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not really sure about that. That depends on the artist. Again, it's artist driven. He would have to protect if he believes that's his property and he's losing out payments from it. But hopefully NBC and those types would pay the artist for the use of their film.
Yeah, he'd get his quarter. Okay, now, the other thing is that when somebody puts something up there and they go, hey, that's copyright material. Where's your department of take it down? How do you do that?
Well, that's a tough one. Now, we are an American company. We have been harangued already by BMI and ASCAP's probably next. So we.
Oh, it's BMI. Site, I don't know what BMI is.
Oh, it is a rights management organization for songwriters, and they're kind of
annoying.
They harangue you. You need to get a license because you might play a song that one of our artists owns, and if that ever happens, our license will protect you. So it's a little annoying. We like to say that our platform is for original material only. And if there is obviously copywritten material up there, and there has been, we will take it down. This is for artists who have original material, not for copycatters and people trying to profit off of other people's videos.
Okay, so you got in terms and conditions, just don't go be putting, Heidi the movie up and see how much you can get. I mean, it's, whatever, right?
Sure, right. You can't have a Disney film up there. Unless Disney puts it there.
Well, have you had any labels or studios or anything that's kind of said, hello, want to talk to you a little bit?
Not yet, but we're always looking for them. Now, we do have have connections in to Disney, actually. One of our partners is a writer, producer, screenwriter, director who works at Disney. Not for Disney, but he works, he has an office at the Disney lot. So we have connections out there. There is interest. Bitcoin is still a roadblock for many people. They're just not wrapping their heads around it. But when they do, eyes open, we're here, we're early, we'll be the platform. We've had talks with E1, actually, which is a big distributor.
Distribution of all kinds of good. You know, they have some other original, you know, pilots and movies and other stuff that, you know, people have put up there. You know, my big thing is this is a lot. It's going to be that one news coverage, that one video, that one thing where everybody's going, you know what, I'm just going to put it over and watch my bit. You got that one thing? Let them know. Yeah, that fan is really loud.
Yeah, my fan on my computer, and I am on the road, so I don't have my microphone. The other option I can do, Ernie, is I can do it on my phone, but Donna, we lose the video probably, and Donna said it didn't sound as good, but I was away from the phone too. So,
well, I mean, you know, we can suffer. I mean, I don't care. I can hear you. It's just,
well,
you know.
I'll get closer also. And are you able to see me in my little background here?
Watch my bit. I see.
Okay.
All right, we're good. The so what is it? Your the next level of? I mean, you got your day job or whatever, and this is kind of how much of your time is taken up with this?
With Watch My Bit?
Yeah.
Oh, lots of time. I'd rather not talk about the day job or the time, but
too late. It's on the archive.
Yeah. Oh well. Yeah. people are hearing this. I don't really care that much about it. But yeah, no, it's like every moment that I'm not at the day job, I'm editing the video, I'm making phone calls, I'm doing meetings with the teams, we're trying to find some YouTubers. We want to make a deal with YouTubers that if they're a big enough YouTube person, we'll pay you some amount, you know, to put your videos on our site first. And then hopefully it'll make up for, and the money you make on our site will show you that it's so valuable and it's worth it for us to experiment with paying someone to do that.
Well, you know, the big thing is that, yeah, of course it brings people over and all that stuff, but even if they just release it a few days earlier, they could get a much bigger cut. Because I know how these guys are, man. The 12-year-old gamer to get to the next level of Halo 47, you know, and there'll be 100,000 people that pay their quarter and they'll go learn Bitcoin just so they can get to Halo 47 first.
Yeah, or when Justin Bieber puts up his first video, every teenage girl will figure out how to get Bitcoin.
Yeah, no, I'm hip. You know, this
hey,
is...
and then I do want to talk about, like, we now do Shapeshift.
And
let's talk about Anarchapulco. There's a lot of videos, a lot of people up there your audience will want to see.
Okay, Anarch. Anarchapulco.
It's a tough one to spell, isn't it?
And then Shapeshift. Okay. Yeah, how are you using Shapeshift?
Well, if you
so when you
go
get paid,
site,
it goes winging around and then it comes out some other whatever?
No, take a look. There's your video, right? And then right below the QR code for Bitcoin is a Shapeshift button.
Okay.
That's all there is to it. You click on the Shapeshift button, and it opens the Shapeshift interface. And I think you can pay right now. Yeah, look at that. And then you just decide, instead of paying with Bitcoin, pay with... Now you can only pay with Ether because of their hack. You know, they got hacked recently.
Ether got hacked just recently? When?
No, Shapeshift got hacked.
Oh, really? How? Yeah. To do what?
It's an amazing story. Zero customer funds were lost, but they brought their hope, and it was an inside job. And Eric Voorhees wrote an amazing follow-up and, you know, what happened, and it was really the stuff.
Well, tell us about it on the... This is all intertwined in everything that the community is doing, and this is a good story, and it'll be kind of, you know, interesting. You should tell it.
Sure.
All right, we'll do that. All right,
but you want to talk about Anarchapulco, because I've got them.
All right, we'll do Anarchapulco first. We'll be back in 5 seconds.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, Doug Scribner. WatchMyBit.com, which is a video platform that you get paid in cryptocurrency right then, not later, and it's split up any way that you want. So I'm telling you, if you have interesting video, if you have a set of fans, even if you got big, giant YouTube, I got a gazillion followers of whatever, put it there first to where people get the early adoption of I get Bitcoin, I pay even a day, two, three early, because what do you got? Some 12-year-old that knows how to get the Halo level 47 or whatever, and man, they just get a gazillion people going, you know what? I'm going to let YouTube take all my money. You know, I'll go ahead and put it up on Watch My Bit like 3 days earlier, a week earlier, 24 hours earlier, whatever. And the quickies get to go, we win, we got there first, na 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 na. You know, so there's a big opportunity. This is not going to go away. You know, this concept, this idea, and you need somebody like Doug just to make sure it goes where. And a community like ours, you know, to be able to make sure that all the coding and everything's working just fine. Well, one of the other things is Shapeshift. Eric Voorhees came up with Shapeshift, which is a mechanism by which I can put in Bitcoin, and then it goes around a bunch of different kind of different currencies of alt, and come in, and it's gone. Okay, so they said, hey, as long as you don't deal with any kind of fiat currency, it's not, you know, money laundering or any of that kind of stuff. It's perfectly, you know, free to do so in, I think it's Switzerland or something. Where's he at doing this?
Yeah, he's out in that neck of the world, exactly. And I think that's probably a good idea. But Watch My Bit now takes Shapeshift. And if you go to any one of our videos, I don't know if you can see it behind me here, but right below the QR code for Bitcoin is a Shapeshift button that says pay with altcoins. And when you click on it, you can choose to pay with any of 40 different altcoins. It senses the Bitcoin address on the screen and launches the video, even though you paid with Ether or Doge or Litecoin, etc. That's the brilliance of Eric's company.
Well, the brilliance of you taking the brilliance of doubling up on the brilliance.
Exactly. Now, I know you heard about Shapeshift's hack. Which
I just did from
bad.
You saying in the break. Tell me what the hell. I had no idea.
Yeah, well,
tell me everything.
Eric so eloquently explained it in a previous, in a write-up he just did. It was an inside job, and somebody paid an employee of theirs to snoop around and open laptops, and they stole $250,000+ worth of coins. None of them were customer coins, and Eric's very rightly so really segregated the customer coins from their working capital coins. Over $250,000 of coins stolen, and Eric did a great write-up about it. You can find it on the internet. So it came out yesterday, I think.
Well, this was put a scar on the reputation just to make money? Was it someone that will give you a cut?
No.
Was it government? What?
No, it was a hacker. Oh, the story's amazing. It's a Hollywood movie. They actually were emailing with the hacker who bribed their employee to give them access. These hackers are very full of themselves, and so Eric just wonderfully started talking to him, and the guy started releasing little bits of information about Bob, the employee who stole from them. And it's an amazing read, Ernie. You should read up on it. It just came out yesterday. Explains the whole situation.
Okay, so I go Eric Voorhees, Shapeshift, inside hack or something. What?
Shapeshift hack.
Okay, Donna. Shapeshift hack. Shapeshift hack. Voorhees. Just do a search on that, wherever that story is. Put it up on the front page and in the first hour, Mr. Doug Scribner, broke it here on Freedom Phoenix.
And I would get Eric on to have him explain the story. It's really something else. But
Eric on not too long ago, but I'm telling you, man, Shapeshift, just a concept. We're all worried that he would even be able to do this, you know,
right.
But he got government semi, we're not going to shoot you approval, you know, in Europe, wherever the heck he's at. And this is a great addition to Watch My Bit because it allows all kinds of, and that's one thing I did not know, that Shapeshift is allowing for like embedded payments in various different alt currencies. So what, I would have a wallet or an account on there that gets paid, and then I can I don't think he works it that way, does he?
No, it's amazing. There's two ways. I mean, if you look at our screen here, and if you go to just click on your video and watch my bit, you'll see I paid with altcoins. I don't need an account with Shapeshift to do that. All I need is a wallet on my computer or device that has the altcoin, and then I can just pay to it.
Okay, well, even better, can they pay in like Dash or Ethereum or whatever the heck up there, and then it just converts into Bitcoin, goes into my Bitcoin wallet?
Absolutely.
Score!
Amazing.
Oh, you don't have any Bitcoin. You want to use some of your... Well, sure, but I will take it in. That's the point of Shapeshift. They can make all of these payments in whatever alt currency, and it comes out in whatever one you want in your wallet.
Exactly. That's great for our artists. So now people with Dogecoin, if they watch a video and watch my bit, that Dogecoin gets turned into Bitcoin, so it triggers our system, and the Bitcoin goes into the artist's wallet from the fan who paid with Dogecoin.
This is... You know, one thing about Doug and people like you is that... they do these things because they understand the future. They're not looking at, well, how much money? What's the cost, you know, evaluation, cost, you know, return on my kind of doing that? You go, no, it's just cool. We're just going to do that because it's cool.
And it was easy. That's what's amazing. I got to tell you, Ernie, you know, Oliver, our tech guy, is not a Bitcoiner, but he's becoming one. So we're kind of saying, hey, you should get Shapeshift involved. Add the Shapeshift button. It's going to be really easy. And he goes, I don't know. It sounds like a complicated thing. Took him 2 hours.
And he goes,
2 hours.
Score.
And every single one of our videos is now available for altcoins.
That is amazing. When did you do that?
We did that about a month ago or less.
You know, this is, I tell you, Doug, you know, I've been, you know, doing the same kind of stuff. Freedom's, you know, incorporate all the cool crap, man. Make sure you got all the features. Make sure it's been 10 years and we're ready with this next newspaper coming out in a couple of weeks. We're going to, and I need a new ad from you, you know?
Yeah, we've got one. Mark and I are working on that right now.
All right, cool. Let's get it done because I want to make sure that gets in, because this tech is exact worldwide tech is exactly what we're emphasizing to all the different. You know, I'm going to Marrakesh. We have Orlando National Convention Libertarians. We got a lot of the activists here in different places. We distribute around the country. So we'll do like 10,000 papers and just get them out in the right areas to start the seeding to let them know that these kind. You know what? Freedom. There's an app for that.
I just want to thank you, Ernie, for what a great opportunity you're providing. And remember, you're a flamethrower of freedom, too. You're the guy who is bringing it to the masses in many, many ways, too, with all of your media. Every morning, the first thing I do is read Freedom's Phoenix, by the way. I love the way you pull together those stories that I like, technology and some politics and alternative stuff.
Yeah, no, it is kind of its own flavor, but gosh darn it, once you get hooked on, you know, I may only have, you know, I don't have, in my database probably, well, it's tens of thousands, you know, and then, you know, thousands get the email dispatch and all that kind of stuff. But I'll put up any one of my readers against 10,000 of Hillary's followers. I mean, you know, it's not the numbers. It's the quality of the people. The people that read Freedom's Phoenix are the smart, innovative, future-looking, just need a little bit of supporting evidence, data points of we're on the right track. And I'm telling you, it is, which is why I'm giving these presentations, you know, around the world. You know, Anarchapoco, there's a lot of great stuff there that you have videos available. Tell the people how they get the videos on Anarchapoco.
Right. Well, Jeff Berwick had the foresight to partner with us. And so we provided the video streaming services for all the Anarchapoco videos. And right now you can see Larkin Rose and Barry Cooper, you know, from Never Get Busted, and Walter Block debating with Mark Skousen. And
Larkin Rose debating with Mark Skousen.
Absolutely.
Yum, right.
Joby Weeks is up there, and then Sasha Daygame. Oh, and oh gosh, Peaceful Parenting, Dana Martin. In fact, I've got Dana Martin's 4-hour workshop she did. Now, she controls that channel, so she charges what she wants. She charges $10 for every hour.
$10! Whatever you want.
This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I specialize in helping you find the real estate that fits your needs. Whether you are looking to purchase a home or a piece of land, whether it's in town or a rural setting, I can help you find exactly what you are looking for. Most of us are aware of the turbulent times ahead and will need to settle in a place that will suit our particular desires, not only to protect our families, but to thrive in the coming downturn of the economy. Unfortunately, that time is not in the future, but it is upon us, and if you are going to get ahead of the game, now is the time to prepare. Qualifying options for new loans are narrowing, the dollar is being devalued every day, and living expenses are on the rise. So I have created a useful tool on my webpage at DonnaHancock.com that will allow you to search for properties at your leisure that are of interest to you. Simply click on the Search MLS tab at the top of my webpage to begin your search today. Start preparing for your future, and when you are ready to move forward with your home or land buying purchase, we can work together to get you and your family ready to flourish. Feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819, and let's get started today.
This is your Robertson Roberts Brokerage Daily Precious Metals Update. In early trading Tuesday, gold is surging higher to $1,254 per ounce. Silver has jumped 70 cents higher at $17 per ounce. Bitcoin is trading at $429. Silver is at a 10-month high, and gold has exceeded its 50-day moving average as traders move to protect themselves from a slowing economy. Give us a call at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co.
Help get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
Knows, and a bunch of other people, including Mr. Doug Scribner from Watch My Bet, knows that we just got to break free from what? I tell you, the big thing is censorship. And the first thing that I asked Doug when they were starting to do this, okay, where are your servers? And they're right next door to right on the same drive as the CIA over at Amazon. And I'm going, are they still there? Huh?
They're still there, but...
What are we going to do about that?
Well, here's what we're going to do. Here's some possibilities. We've been talking about storage for a long time. You've been talking about storage for a long time. They're in beta. But guess what state storage just moved their marketing headquarters to?
Langley. I don't know. Virginia. No. What?
Nope. Salt Lake City, Utah. Where
NSA.
Our
major
partner, Mark Hilgenberg, who was the former state chair of the Libertarian Party, lives. So he goes to all of their meetings now.
Oh, very cool.
So we're looking at some possibilities with them, you know, when things move on that way, we'll be ready. Just like we adopted Shapeshift, we'll be on the cusp to adopt storage and other technologies as they become.
Well, what I'm bringing up and, you know, to scare everybody and the, oh my God, is that, you know, there has to be some mechanism in a way by which we can avoid censorship. Because I can see if it's on the Amazon cloud, they're not going to mess with you, you know, now, but... they will. If it gets to where, oh, you know, we saw Hillary Clinton at the inauguration of, we saw her reptilian tail stick out of her pantsuit of whatever on video. Okay? So when you get that and you put it up there, they're going to go, nah. So we just need to have some place that's, don't mean nothing, you know?
Censorship proof.
Well, that is, I mean, because that's, you know, part of the main thing that you're... you're not censoring. I mean, you may, you know, copyright and be original material just so you don't get a hellfire missile on you. But I'm just like, you know, the actual political and views and content, are you going to, like, ban socialists and communists from posting their stuff?
No. You know, of course, since most of us are libertarians and we're a liberty-oriented company, that's where we gravitate to. Pulse, that's where a lot of the Bitcoiners gravitate to. But we want to get the socialists and the communists on our platform, too. We'll let them profit through capitalism. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, see, that's the one thing they'll go, like, freedom. See, how did you put that one guy or that one story or the one... why would you... I'm going, that's what's libertarian about Freedom's Phoenix. Everybody gets to have their say. I mean, you want to go pound the crap at them? It's called the comment section.
That's right. Hey, Ernie, Can I? I'm gonna read every speaker from Anarcho Poco if I could, really fast. Here we go. Dana Martin, Ernie Hancock, Zen Gardner, Lauren Rumpler, Larkin Rose, Kerry Weider, Max Wright, Mayo Yiannopoulos, Macy Tomlin, Louis Fernando Mises, Adam Kokesh, Luke Rudowski, Walter Block, Chris Horlocker, Roger Ver, Ken O'Keefe, Bob Podolsky, Adam Pacenta, Jayant Banardi, Dan Dix, Vit Jedlicka, Larkin Rose, Barry Cooper, Mark Victor, Kenneth Scott, Michael Fielding, Sasha Daygame, David Smith, Max Egan, Walter Block versus Mike Skousen, and Anarchist versus Minarchist debate, Rose versus Skousen, Shark Tank, Acapulco version 1 and 2, Terry Brock, Alessandro Fusillo. Plus, there was also, Juan Galt did a presentation on Dash, and there's some other stuff up there, too. There's also the Jeff Berwick Dollar Vigilante videos, which are up there right now, which you can't see anywhere else. You can buy a whole package for $75.
One of the other ones that was... Oh, I'm sorry, I talked over you. You had, what was so much dollars, Berwick what?
Oh, the Dollar Vigilante. He did a special day of special speakers there that are only available on Watch My Bit. He's selling the whole thing for like $75. You can get these a la carte for $15 each. If you just do a search for Dollar Vigilante or something like that, click on the artist name, you'll see all the videos available. Oh, there is also the Rational Science Workshop. So that's 4 hours of rational science, objective science sort of stuff. It's the fourth annual Rational Science Conference.
You know what I could do? We have on DVD and some other files the speakers of our Freedom Summits.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, this is, we got some, you know, Peter Schiff from back in the day. Ron Paul three times. I mean, you know, Judge Buttrick, a federal libertarian judge. Where the hell that come from? We have Molyneux has spoken. We got him. Rosa Curie on the Green Mask. We have, I mean, just on and on. You know, Anthony Gregory. I loved his. You know, right. His is like optimistic. Yeah, I know. He was kind of the one that started me, you know, seeing that the optimistic view would be, you know, it needs to be added, because all these libertarian events and speaking, it's just like, oh, my God. And you go, yeah, but there's another side. So he was very ecstatic about the people stopping the effort to go into the Syrian war a couple of years ago. And, of course, we knew it was going to come back. But, you know, at least it wasn't popular. Their drum beats didn't get people in line. So there's a lot of opportunities for us to do. You know, that's one thing. I got time. I'll start posting those up, because those are, a lot of those are, somebody pay a quarter to watch some of those, I'll tell you.
Well, hey, Ernie, I want to show you a surprise here. On the very front page of Watch My Bit, right now, I put your speech from Anarcho Poco at the very top. So for 89 cents, of which 65% goes to you. We have a split with some other people there, too. Boom, front page of Watch My Bit. Watch your optimistic speech.
Yeah, boom, go watch it. It's like...
Hey, and let me just tell you, the reason that's up there is because our engine, Split Engine, allows for us to split with other editors. So right now I've got Pete Gorman in Anarcho Poco working on the videos. How do I get him to work on these videos? I split him in for 25%. It's worth it for him. It's worth it for me. The videos get up faster. We share the wealth. We distribute the labor. But also, a shout out to Jen, who is helping him out a lot too, and learning the skill of video editing and graphic design as a way of bettering herself and becoming her own entrepreneur and getting into media.
No, this is a really great platform, and it's kind of a passion with you. It's not like you're making billions of dollars yet. I mean, is it?
We're losing money. You should see our tax return.
Yay! You're getting some back. No. You get to keep some. What I'm going to go ahead and do is ask that you not only get us ads for the paper and so on, but I need, you know, banner graphics for the website and stuff. Waiting on you now.
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to provide it. We've got some good logos, like the ones behind me.
Yeah, let's do it. You know, that's one thing that we're doing when we finally get... Matter of fact, yesterday, midday, we just get done with the debate between Austin Peterson and Daryl Perry. And the site went down right after we loaded
everything
up. I heard
that.
You know, and I'm going, Derek, he goes, yeah, I put in the upgrade of, oh, it didn't, we need a new server. So I had to get, so we got a brand new server, spending more. So as we get all this updates done and we get everything all stabilized, we're going to launch a total new look of it along with all the new banner ads. So when we do this, and we're going to start doing some banner advertising across the net, we're going to be doing, we have a lot of stuff that's coming online, and Watch My Bit can feature prominently in a lot of that. If you help me, help you.
I'll help you anyway.
All right. Well, first thing is get me some art, and then we'll go and you know, have, you know, pretty stuff up there. You know, that's, I know I'm getting something because I have different in my Airbits wallet. I have it linked to a lot of various different things, and all of a sudden, you know, ping, Bitcoin comes in, and I go, hey, I got some Bitcoin. Where'd that come from? Don't care. I want to give me some Bitcoin. Give me some.
It came from Watch My Bit, probably, and that's just exactly right. People see Bitcoins popping up in their wallet with all the different videos they might have. That's exactly what we're showing people.
Well, this is developing technology that, you know, I understood how important it was from the beginning, and that's why we wanted to be early adopters and demonstrate what can be done. Because, you know, a lot of Bitcoin guys, what were they doing? They were going and watching Bitcoin coverage at the Consumer Electronics Show that Drew Phillips and I were playing with. And I'm going, we'd get up there at the same time that John Bush is covering the Silk Road trial. And I'm going, you guys starting to see the use case now, you know, and people made some money. So I'm like, cool, let's do that. Doug Scribner and Oliver here in the Valley of the Sun helping working on the coding, and a bunch of other people starting to come
online.
And
if I could throw out really quickly, we're looking for investors. Jump on board. Make some money with Watch My Bit.
Yep, investor. Do. You know, this is, there's a lot of people that have some Bitcoin money that, you know, promotion of platforms like this is helps rise the tide of all the boats. You know, and I can see where this is going. Sooner or later, it's already happening. The censorship of everything is just so bad. And you know, that's my big mantra. And this is one of the solutions. Doug Scribner, watchmybit.com. Hold on a second, Doug. I want to talk to you. We'll be right back. In the second hour, we got AZ Normal. Oh, there's a legalization initiative on the ballot. We're going to talk about it.
I've been told no.
There, done. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, the sound wasn't the super greatest, but yeah, what the hell. Technology, we get you from wherever anyway.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to, let me call you on my phone on Skype, okay?
All right, go ahead.
Bye.
Gotcha.
Hey. Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. That was a lot better. What the hell am I doing the other for? Oh,
so because it was on video in my crappy laptop, I know.
Well, I had, you know, some graphics of you being purdy and everything. I could do that. The Yeah, no, we have.
Actually, if you could leave the video feed on, can you put the video up there, or do you do a video version? Because I had my Watch My Bit logo behind me, and I was demoing.
Yeah. No, we were showing it.
Okay. All right.
No, I had you up the whole time, being purdy and everything.
Thanks.
You know, the what you're showing the graphics up on, I mean, we, as well as we can make it out, but yeah, you know, we can see it. The the one thing that I'm hoping that you'll keep up with me is some of the new technology. You know, how long have you been doing ShapeShift? Just a month or two?
Yeah, really just like 3 weeks even. And it's the funniest thing, you know. We implemented a couple of technologies. One, thanks to Airbits, Paul Pway actually helped us code. If you go to our mobile version of our site, which looks terrible, I admit. But one cool thing is when you pull up a video, you tap the QR code, it automatically opens up your Bitcoin wallet on your phone. And then when you pay, it automatically takes you back to Watch My Bit on your phone.
Very cool.
So that came from, that was implemented about 2 months ago or less. And then ShapeShift, we just did 3 weeks ago or so. And you know, Oliver couldn't believe how easy it was. And he's trying to implement Dwolla as an American fiat payment processor in PayPal. And it is killing us. It's going to cost us $50,000 to hire developers to make it happen on our platform. That's how hard it is to work in fiat.
So this was, I'm sorry, I was distracted. I got to get my phone. I wanted to, you know, check it while you were talking. So what does it do? Did Pway set this up? And what was going to cost you a gazillion dollars of PayPal? What?
Yeah. For us to implement technologies like Bitcoin and ShapeShift takes 2 hours and is so easy. But for Oliver to implement Dwolla or PayPal, is going to cost us tens of thousands of dollars in developer time and interfacing with their APIs. It's so expensive and so hard to deal with the old legacy payment systems. But some of our early investors really want us to try to get PayPal up there. So it's just funny, I'm saying, how Oliver just couldn't believe how easy it was to put Shapeshift, and now we're taking 40 other altcoins, but yet to use, you know, PayPal, it'll cost us lots of money to implement it, and it's a pain in the ass anyway.
Very cool. Well, when we went through all that PayPal crap, you know, my IT guy did it, and it was just a pain in the ass for, God, week, two, you know.
Right.
And
and there's no splitting ability. We can't really split with PayPal, and it's expensive. It'll be worth to double the price of each video, which is fine. It'll push people to Bitcoin, but it'll be a nice, you know, difference.
Yeah, no, I'm glad that. See, it's the same thing that we were doing with Freedom's Phoenix. It was like, well, you're not. How do you make money doing that? How do you make money doing that? How do you make money doing that? I'm like, you know, look, man, that's not my main goal. First, I got to get it done, then we'll worry about it, you know? And so we've had enough contributors and sponsors and helpers and, you know, revenue and our time and effort and money and from the community that we have really defined. Well, that's why the site went down yesterday for a little bit, because Derek was doing some of the final. Oop, that didn't work. And I think it's limitations on this old server. If we need a new Ernie, all your dreams can come true if you'll spend some more money on guy. Yeah, whatever, man.
You know? I know.
So it's all. So we did that, and then now we have the opportunity to offer a lot of these things. You know, Shapeshift, I didn't think of that. You know, what I did is I went and bought some Ether just out of grins and giggles to say I did, $50 or something, mm-hmm. and I go to mm-hmm. Bittrex, and they're going, what the hell are you using Bittrex for? You go over to Shapeshift, and I go,
right.
They do the same kind of thing? Yeah, of course. I go, oh, okay. You know?
Yeah. I'm bummed out because I installed a new Jax wallet. It's the same guy who did CryptoKit, but on my Android phone. And it's a Bitcoin and Ethereum wallet. So I went to Shapeshift, bought about $300 worth of Ether put it on my Jax wallet. And then my phone promptly died before I learned how to back up my wallet. So I got, oh no.
So you lost it?
Yeah. As far as I can tell, I have the phone still. I've got about 7 days left to try to figure out how to hack it and make it live again.
Oh God! I mean, yeah, I was talking to one of the guys from Vegas, and he taught me how to do paper wallets. And,
right. Yeah.
So now he uses what is it? I don't know. It's one of the multi-sig wallets now. I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, Copay or something?
Yeah, Copay. So he's doing Copay so he can do it with his family, you know, two out of three or something like that. So he goes,
we do that too.
I don't do paper anymore. And I'm going, I mean, that's kind of cool that you can do that and you got some security, but I don't know. I'd like having it. I can just throw it in, you know, freaking tattoo it on my dog's butt or put it in the time capsule or something, you know?
So I like paper wallets, Ernie, also. I've got them in my safe and my mom's
safe,
but don't tell anyone.
Yeah. Well, too late. One thing that I like having these options because it makes you responsible for your money, though. But at least, you know, they, them, those aren't going, and it's ours now, you know.
Right.
So
exactly.
It's just, well, keep in touch on this, man.
Yeah. I mean, are you going to the LP convention?
Hell no. Not if I can help it. I think.
Oh, I thought you were going there. Okay.
I think I'm going to be in Marrakesh at the time. When is the LP convention?
It's in Florida, like in the summer. I think it's June or is it May? April, May?
I think it's May. I think I'm going to be in Morocco, but
your magazines will be there, right?
Yeah, no, I have the newspapers will be in all the convention bags, so it'll be like 1,000, 1,200. I get to have my say. What the hell I need to go for?
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, I'm going. Thanks. And it just pissed me off. Yeah, go ahead.
Well. Hey, I can do to help promote you. I every time I'm on your show, I tweet about it. I watch my bit tweets about it. We don't have a lot of followers, but you should follow us. And I'll tweet once. When is the audio going to be ready for this later today? You think?
Yeah, no, I'll have it by 2:00 Eastern.
Okay, then I'll tweet that out, of course, and I'll put it on Facebook pretty as soon as we have a link to send it to, and then Should I talk to Donna about the graphic sizes and stuff and ads for the...
Yeah. Donna, send in the graphic size and the ads for the 728s and the 600 by 120s and the whatever. I need a banner ad 600 wide by 120 high to go into dispatch right not later. I'll get that bad boy up right away.
Hold on. Let me write this down here. I'm at a hotel.
I got to get to the next gas. I got 10 seconds. But 600 by 120.
Got it.
All right. Got to go, man. Peace.
Bye.
And now... Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, Freedoms Phoenix, Doc Home. Yeah, that was a better one. Okay, what we're going to do is now we're going to get all caught up on Arizona and marijuana. You know, in Arizona, marijuana was an initiative back in the late 90s. I remember the libertarians, we knew the guys doing it. You know, it's Sperling that owns University of Phoenix was the money behind it. And we had Jeff Singer, a surgeon that we know. As a matter of fact, I'll be seeing him tonight. Yeah, tonight we have a discussion group he'll be at. So, but he ran this thing, and he's done other initiatives like doing away with Arizona's income tax. It gets on Rivers, going to vote for it. And the court said you can't have it on there because we said. I mean, it's just, going to get some. Well, they put up the initiative to decriminalize marijuana to a large degree. And the libertarians, we did in the publicity pamphlet for the election, you know, everybody gets to have their say, you pay a couple $100, you get to say this about that. And we put in there, we're against it. Now we're against it. Oh, man, it's just more. We want just total decriminalization. You know, yeehaw, we're libertarians, and we don't want to have this piecemeal freedom kind of doled out, longer leash gilded cage kind of crap. And then it passed because it made them look moderate, which is kind of what we had thought anyway. We're going, nah, we can't endorse this. But if it passes, that's better than not. Well, the guy, we're laughing up our sleeve. We made them look moderate. Well, then what happens? Legislature just says, you know, we just changed it back. People didn't like that none too much. Sperling spent money on another initiative. Now when anything gets passed by the people here in Arizona, it takes like, I think, 3/4 of the legislature to change. They don't like that none too much. So now it keeps progressing. We have Prop 200. Well, you got to take treatment. Oh, you don't have to go to jail the first time. Oh, you can do it. Well, now it's kind of medical marijuana. Now it's a little bit and you can grow kind of. Now it's getting to the piece by piece by piece. In Arizona, I don't know what. We're going to find out. You know, we're going to find out. My next guest here, we have Mikkel Weiser. Hopefully I got that right. Mikkel, am I saying it right?
Not at all.
Okay, help
it's
me out.
It's Michael.
All right. Michael Weiser?
Yes, Michael Weiser.
Michael Weiser.
I'm the state director at NORML, the Arizona chapter of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana.
Okay.
How are you doing this morning? Happy 420.
I am more than a wonderful. Happy what? What is today?
420. Look at the calendar.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
How score
it's
is
true.
That?
It's weird, huh?
How it's, score it's, is that? Yep.
And I'm on the phone with you on 420. Mm. It's like a stoner moment, except I'm not a stoner. I'm a marijuana user.
Marijuana user.
Yeah.
You look like a normal, semi, just kind of guy. And I'm going...
Except no A in it, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have any, you know, like dreadlocks or nothing.
No, I've never had dreadlocks. I never had tattoos. And I don't sit on the couch for 7-8 hours a day eating potato chips. That would make me a potato chip addict.
Yeah. Well, this is, you know, the history that I had, Michael, you know, on... marijuana here in Arizona is, I didn't get into all the details, but basically, Arizona is one of the first. It was like, look, man, 70-something, I remember it was like 76% voted for that, and the legislature said, we don't care. And I'm going, really? That was the beginning of the break, I think, with the populace and the legislature here. They were going, it doesn't matter what we say. We all got trumped and Ron Paul'd back in the day. So where are we at now? What's the legislation that you guys are proposing? What would change?
It definitely inspired lots of people to get upset with their government. In fact, when in 98, the next election cycle, after the state legislature knocked out marijuana legalization legislation, the citizens of Arizona passed Prop 105, the Voter Protection Act, to stop that from happening.
Yeah, but it got taken advantage of by every special interest on the planet. They, you know, tax this, tax liquor, cigarettes, we're going to entitlement of and do in the public, the health care passed and kind of patent, whatever they passed, well, then the legislature can never change, which is, you know, that's, you know, I guess the people will just learn one way or another and do whatever. But it had a backlash. And that's why when they had a challenge to a lot of the election laws they did last election cycle, they didn't want to go to, they just totally undid the ballot. I mean, the law that they had, because they didn't want the people to vote on it, and then they could never change it. And that's happening right now with the solar industry. The solar industry just announced this last week that they are putting up an initiative that every extra unit of energy that you put to the grid, you get back, all of it. It is like the grid is their battery, and they try to negotiate with the utilities and the Corporation Commission on, look, some of it or a fair deal of whatever. No. And they go, oh, yeah? And the solar power industry-funded initiative, and it goes on, and once it gets voted in the state constitution, it's forever, SOBs. Are you sure you want to play this game? So I know the legislature is freaking out, and the utilities, they're going to be passing something. Well, the same thing happens when you do something like this, a very popular thing like marijuana. Are you, once you get this on the ballot and they can never change it, I wouldn't be surprised if as soon as you put in the signatures, have you loaded them in yet? I mean, you still got more time, right?
Yeah, we have until the beginning of July to turn in our petition signatures. There's this year, the state is requiring 154,000 signatures. We're already over 200,000 with one of the two petitions that's going out. The other is around 100,000. I'm not sure that it's likely to make, but the 200,000 one is going to be on the ballot. I did want to note that when you talk about the pressure against the Citizens Initiative this year, a guy who waves his Tea Party flag as if he were a libertarian, but is actually just, you know, another GOP hack, I'm talking about Bob Thorpe, is trying to get a piece of legislation that he's been pushing for the last several cycles. This year it's called 2023, and it will erode the protections for the citizens from being attacked by the state legislature when it comes to their initiative. Instead of having three quarters, it'll be down to 60%.
Well, how can he get that changed? I mean, he has to get a three-quarter, so he's going to go ahead and through the legislature try and get it reduced from three-quarter down to, okay. But he has to get
three. Yeah, it already passed to the House. It's sitting in the Senate right now. It had been brought forward for discussion and then pulled back. So they haven't committed to it yet. I think it's going to guarantee a stink storm if they do it.
Like they care. They just don't care. Just doesn't matter. Okay, so they're trying to attack the ability, because once it goes in, they're seeing that with all these different initiatives that the people, you piss them off and you have the people put that up and the, you know, the wind blows a certain way and you got some industry or special interest or one rich individual says, hey man, I want to get this up, then the legislature is screwed and that's not a viable vehicle for, you know, the social and economic engineering as much anymore. Then of course it's democracy goes around rampant doing it. But yeah, it's evolving. We're learning. And we'll get into the details when we come back of the details of each of the initiatives and what they do. But if you got already a couple hundred thousand, they know it's going to be going on the ballot. I wouldn't be surprised if there's legislation trying to make it moot that they are going to do because they don't want this to go through and they never be able to change it. So the legislature is all kinds of motivated, I bet you, to go ahead and put something up, you think?
I'm sure of that. In fact, the city of Phoenix right now, today, on 420, ironically, is deciding a new city ordinance. We'd love to have people show up at 2:30 at City Hall and complain about this new ordinance. The design is to extend the distances between marijuana businesses and certain other types of establishments, schools, churches.
Because they can!
Right. Right. And
when it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Okay, Michael, it's Weiser, right?
Yeah, Michael Weiser.
Okay, Michael Weiser. Okay. Yeah, I apologize. I didn't have you. I was busy with the previous guest, and we didn't have time to talk before we came up.
Have time to count the times that my name has been mispronounced. I'm just glad I get to say it.
All right, very cool. You always get it close enough. I go, no, it's your name. You know, you get to say how it's said. Okay, the AZ Normal, how long have you been there?
I got picked up as the deputy director in July, and I became the full-time director in September. Prior to that, I had been the political director of Safe for Arizona, which is a marijuana activist group here in the state.
Yeah, I've talked to all the guys, and I can't remember who the gentleman before you that took over from Kathy. Who was that?
That was Darren Babin, who is the head of Cannabis Radio, the Cannabis Radio Network. And he just was so busy with working on his day job that he didn't have time to do the normal thing. So they asked me to work on it full time. I've now been swept up with something else that keeps me busy as well. But this is the year to change Arizona's marijuana laws. So I'm not going to take too much time away from working on it.
Hold on a second. Spilt a little coffee around electronics. Not a good idea. There we go.
Lighting up the board in the wrong way.
Yeah, I know. That'd been bad.
That'd been bad.
Well, we're going to go ahead, and I want to get details on what the initiative does. When it was first done and started and proposed, and they were doing drafts and all that, you know, we had, I'm sorry, what was his name again?
I'm not sure.
The guy before you?
Oh, Darren Babin.
Darren. I think it was Darren. It was the guy that took over from Kathy, and got the whole story there. You know, ouch, quit it. I don't care. But the point is that we talked about the legislation or the initiative itself and some of the prospects of freedom in there and how much I can grow and what I can and can't. And you're talking about Phoenix wants to insert there, you know, we need lobbyists to pay attention to us, too. So they're going to do a not, you know, different ordinances of whatever crap. So we'll go ahead and see what they're even allowed to do with the state legislation. So I want to go ahead and hear the details of it. Are you up on all the little nitty-gritty on each of the initiatives?
Enough for our radio audience anyway.
Boom!
Hey, kids.
Boom!
First, there's two different ballot measures that are
okay,
still
we'll talk active. About it. We'll talk about it on air. We got 15 seconds. We'll be back in just a little bit.
Here we go.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Just today's 420. Well, gosh darn. I know some guys I'm going to call. Hey, how come you're not over here celebrating with me? Well, I got to go to an event tonight, maybe afterwards. The one thing that I wanted to get is on the details on these initiatives. So the primary one, why are there two? What's the main reason for having two? What's that?
Well, the main reason is when we finished negotiating the first one, there were people who felt that they wanted more than they had gotten. And so they organized up a citizens initiative challenge. It's really kind of frustrating in the moment because I had been one of the lead negotiators representing the Axis community. We had worked on a very tense situation with three different directions. The dispensary organization wanted to go one direction. MPP wanted to go another direction. In the activist community, we had people who wanted to be like tomatoes, you know, no regulation whatsoever. So it had been a very tough negotiation to work through.
We negotiation, screw negotiation. Okay, this is my, before you even finish, I want to make this point. When they were first doing it and it came up, and this is what, I think it was back when I was talking to Kathy about it. During the transition between him and Darren. What happened was they go to law enforcement. Law enforcement's all freaked out. Hey, man, we making a bunch of money on this drug war thing. And they look at the legislation. They say, hey, where's our cut? We're going to lose all this money of, you know, slapping handcuffs on people and slapping people around for smoking doobies. And you don't have any cut for, oh, well, I'm sorry. Let's look and see if we can find a cut for you. And I'm like, you know, I'm not even interested anymore. Screw them. I'm sorry. Did you have something else to say?
Oh, me?
Yeah. I mean, you know, did that get in the legislation? Are they looking at the primary, the big one, the negotiation in with the initiative? Is the law enforcement going to get their cut?
Well, you know, we live in a state that's controlled by the prison industrial complex.
So,
it's
yes.
Been a hard fight. Our initial, the activist community, I worked with a nationally renowned lawyer, Tom Dean. He used to be the National Legal Counsel for Normal. He now is my legal counsel here in the state, and we did an extensive rewrite of the existing state statute on marijuana laws. It's section 3405. We wrote out a really elaborate opportunity for post-conviction relief, try to get some of the people who are already in the jaws of the prison industrial complex, get them some relief, and that was just outright rejected. Rejection is what caused a lot of people in the activist community to write their own ballot measure, pretty much taking up the stuff that we couldn't get into the principal ballot measure in our negotiations with MPP, which is the Marijuana Policy Project. They're the national organization that's leading a lot of the legalization fights around the country.
Now, I know we've had him on the show. Campia? You know, I've known him for years. But I'm telling you, the compromise. Tell me what the compromise is in the legislation, the negotiation. Just give me all the highlights that are in there and some of the controversial parts. Go.
Well, the MPP ballot measure provides each citizen with the right to grow 6 of their own plants. We have been asking for 12, so the AZFMR, that's Arizonans for Mindful Regulation, they have 12 plants instead of 6.
Okay, so if I got 6 plants, do I have to be a medical marijuana, get me a permission slip to do, or I can just do it?
You can just do it. And you can keep, if you grow your marijuana and you keep it at your house, you can have however much you grow at your house. If you want to go traveling around, both the ballot measures limit you to 1 ounce in public.
Okay, so, and how many ounces or pounds can one plant on average produce in my backyard?
Well, it depends on how you do it. Most people would get between a half a pound and maybe a max of a pound and a half. Professional people can get 2 pounds on average of a regular commercially developed plant. And if you spent the summer creating a big old bush in your backyard, you might get as much as 16 pounds.
Okay, so I grow me some marijuana plants, and I got, say, average a pound. That's 16 ounces. 16 times 6 is like a lot. So I'm going, you know, I can medicate myself, toot sweet, I'm good, and cure my cancer and get high.
Well, let's talk about that, because different types of treatments require different amounts of cannabis, because, you know, you're after the active ingredients in it, the cannabidiol, which is called CBD, and the THC, which is what gives people the feeling of euphoria. So a lot of times when people have major health issues, such as fighting a cancer, they need to take that cannabis and concentrate it down to get, you know, pure forms of the THC and the CBD. In those cases, you would use up a lot of your marijuana if you were trying to fight cancer. With six plants, you could probably get through you could probably get through some pretty intense kind of treatments. Majority of people who use cannabis for pain or nausea or even epilepsy need far lower amounts than people who are fighting cancer.
Yeah, that's one thing. I went to a dispensary in Denver while we were there. A doctor here they went there for a seminar, and they did a tour of a dispensary, and he wanted to take me. We had a layover there. So Donna and I, and he and his spouse, we went to a dispensary, and they had the public area, and then they had the turnstile. There was the medicine area over there, and I'm like, hey, how come I can't go over there? Well, you don't have a card. I have a card. I get in, and now you're segregating me again. They get better stuff. Well, they had much higher dosages. So people that were really curing themselves or treating an illness or cancer or something, it was ungodly amounts of marijuana that they needed. Not necessarily the get high stuff, but I mean, damn, I could see to where some of the treatments require, you might need 12 plants. So I'm going, was that the argument? They're going, look, six plants is just not going to provide me the medication that I need, or they're just looking, I need more to sell?
You know, there's people who were arguing both, just to say. A big bunch of the problem that America has when it comes to legalizing the marijuana market is it's like a $100 billion a year industry across the country as an illegal market. So there's lots of folks who want to keep it illegal. When it comes to making your own concentrated forms of marijuana, people will take a pound and process it down to get maybe a couple of ounces of concentrate. So I understand for folks that are trying to heal themselves, they need very large amounts. Majority of people would need just a couple of a gram to 2 grams a day is a lot of marijuana. I'm a smoker. I have a back injury. I used to be a construction worker. And I smoke maybe 20 times a day. That still doesn't add up to where I would need pounds and pounds.
Yeah, I want to see, when we come back, the conflicting nature of the initiative. Okay, when we come back, it's a four-minute break. When we come back, you know, if both of them passed, you know, how would they be reconciled? And they are both statute, not constitution, right?
They're both statute, not constitution.
Okay, so if you had, you know, is there any conflicting components of either one?
Yes, they have differences in criminal penalties, and they have differences in the size of the industry.
Well, how would they be reconciled? I mean, you know, if you got both of them passed, they go to the more, which one had the most votes, or
you
the
got
one?
It.
Is that it?
The one that got the most votes.
Well, that's cool. You know, I tell you what this is going to do. It's going to be exactly what happened with the Libertarian Party. I was county chairman back in the 90s, and I'm going, you know, we came out, all our candidates then were in opposition. We gave our reasons why, if it's just creating an industry of treatment, and they're going in the courts and these, you know, different blah, 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 blah. It's kind of like and having cops teach defensive driving so you don't get points on your license for the speeding kind of crap. The same thing was going to happen. We knew it. And we're going, no, hell no. We could see what's going on here, and we just wanted to be predictive and go, yeah, go ahead, pass it, but let me tell you what's going to happen. This, and of course it happened. So we're going, okay, just like with the concealed carry initiative, you know, when they had a permit. Yeah, what? Let me tell you what's going to happen. Well, it happened. So then we eventually got unrestricted concealed carry, which I see is going to happen. happen that sooner or later, marijuana is just going to be, and we're done. So I'm going, all right, so this step towards, and there aren't going to be, you know, homeless people laying in the street getting high, you know, whatever the hell with marijuana. But as time goes on, they're starting to see the benefits of this. We have friends in Sun City. Man, Sun City is big, giant cannabis people. I mean, they're getting, they're laying off the vodka and start going to the marijuana for and getting a lot better, more health benefits out of it. So I'm going, all right. As this goes, I am really towards total deregulation, but you're in the weeds on this thing and, you know, or in the forest and you got it hanging over you. Now, that will never happen because of you don't trust the election process. You think that the police coming out being against it would hurt you, or chances of it passing. I mean, what is the motivation for the compromise?
The compromise had to do with getting it passed. And then I personally, I'm not a libertarian. I believe in the necessity of having a regulated society.
Yeah. Well, I don't, so I guess we're...
As a marijuana smoker, I've been a consumer almost 40 years, and I've been ripped off by outrageous business practices repeatedly. It's like any other industry. If you could go into Maverick Market and the guy had some of the milk jugs half full and you couldn't do anything about it,
of course you do something about it. You go buy it from somewhere else, or you just grow it yourself. That's what you do about it. All right. Well, that's philosophical. Yeah, it'd be interesting. We can talk about this a little bit. But I want to get some details of the legislation, the one that you're promoting, and maybe we can talk what the other one's a little different. But let's go ahead and do that when we come back. We'll be back in about 25 seconds, okay?
Okay.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
As you brush your shoes, you stand before your mirror, and you comb your hair, grab your coat and hat.
Yeah! Getting ready to what? We're gonna find out, you know, some more details about the initiative that's coming up. Because if it gets on the ballot, of course, if it's accurate, I don't trust a freaking computer. It's gonna backhand. Ooh, man. But, you know, I guarantee the polling data shows overwhelming support of. Well, let's go ahead and talk about that. What does the polling data show? Is it like people you think it'll pass it gets on there, Michael?
Right now, it looks like it's going to pass. The most recent national statistics we have show that 61% of Americans are in favor of legalization. Arizona is considered one of the more enthusiastic states for cannabis reform.
You know, there's a reason. You know, a lot of this, you know, we got early start back in the early 90s of just this libertarian educating principled base. It doesn't matter. You know, we're not talking about regulating. You know, once they start to see the morality of it and it's my body and put all this basic hardcore anarchist libertarian leave me aloneism, I own myself stuff, that's the foundation on which you are building this. I guarantee freaking it. So this regulatory what and little bit of we get a shiny badge of a government agent gets to say, kind of, you are not getting support from us on that one, all right? But you certainly have fertile ground by which, it's kind of a little bit longer chain I get. So I'm going, okay, so tell us about this chain. You know, what are the main provisions in this initiative that we should know about?
I'd like to comment, you mentioned the 90s being a real powerful shift in Arizona and America's thought about cannabis. And one of your central tenets in your basic philosophy is you want to have a limit of government because you can't trust government lying to you. It turns out that during the 80s and 90s around the world, research in cannabis in other places besides the United States revealed that it really was this miracle drug that people had been talking about.
Yep.
And that our government was lying to us.
Yep.
Trying to create a false story. That has really been what has propelled people to stand up and start pushing for reform because, you know, when your government's lying to you, you have nowhere to go except to fight against it.
Well, the people, a lot of times, I'm going to make this comment. This is what happens. People look to government to tell them what the truth is. You know, it's a lab coat, a shiny badge, a clipboard, you know, the fine hat. You know, we got the media on our side. We say, oh, well, hell, as long as they said it, I guess it's true. Well, as soon as you know that that is not the case ever, okay, so you start doing your own research. Here comes the internet. The concept, the base, fundamental concept of it's my body. I mean, if you can't get that through people's heads, you're just wasting. Hell, why would I want to save them? You know what? You're just a slave, a drone. And when you start claiming your own individuality, become American, you know, I'm just like, hey, man, I'm all over it. You can snort Clorox. I don't care. You know, the thing is that once you get that concept, all this other stuff follows. Not just that the government lied to me. Hell, they all, that's their job. You know, so I'm going, look, it's all about being governed. I don't want to be governed. So you want to have this philosophical discussion about whose body is it? We can go all day on that, I guarantee it. But let's go ahead and talk about the provisions in this law. Well, how does it free me? Is it enslaving me more? Is it putting a little bit of shackles, just a longer leash? You got to tell me, what are the provisions in the initiative?
Anything that's being put out as legislation is a leash of some sort.
Yep.
I'm sure we both agree on that.
Yep.
The one ballot measure brought by MPP is going to open up the market to an initial 160 retail outlets and then expand from there.
Okay, wait. In the actual initiative, it puts a number? It says 160?
Both do.
God. All right, keep going.
Remember, this is government regulations we're talking about here. Both of them are modeling their style on the government regulation of alcohol. So there's 1,600 and some odd class 1 liquor licenses, class 9 liquor licenses. Those are the places where it's a liquor store. That's the only purpose of the store. So that's going to be the number that Arizona is shooting for marijuana outlets. Recreational use, if you want to use that term. I don't prefer that term. Adult use outlets. That's a big part of what I've been looking at is the business opportunity for Arizonans in general. I'm a school teacher myself. I'm going to go back to school teaching when we finish with this movement. But there's lots of business opportunity that would be had by people who want to go into business.
They're called drug dealers, man, and growers before legislation. Okay, so the way that the past initiative, when it passed, it was weird.
Hold on, let me get back to what you just said, okay? Because right now in Arizona, for every two people who have a card like I do, one of these medical cards, there's 8 Arizonans who are having to live in the shadows, having to be afraid of their government. This is an opportunity for people to not be victims and targets of their government. That's why I'm doing this.
If it doesn't recognize the individual's right to own their own body, it's just another enslavement mechanism in my mind. I remember when Kathy Inman was first, she would have meetings at our Freedom's Phoenix workshop years ago when they were promoting the last initiative that, you know, when we decriminalized a little bit on this last one. And they had the meetings, well, we need to regulate it in such a way and tax it so that we can fund the government schools better. And I'm going, what? That's not going to be our rhetoric.
I'm sitting on a city street in Phoenix, Arizona. If I wanted to be out in the middle of the desert where there was no roads or whatever, I could do that. You're right. But we live in a reality where we're already enslaved by the government. The structure's already here. Anything that's working to create greater freedom, I'm not going to scoff at, and both of these initiatives.
Oh, no. I'm going to scoff at. That doesn't mean it's not going to pass, or we might, you know, forward the ball a little bit in your mind of whatever. I'm looking at, you're never going to get me or most libertarians to advocate for the kind of, yes, as long as we're ruled better. And I'm going, no, that doesn't mean it doesn't pass. It doesn't mean we won't benefit from it. It doesn't mean I don't know a bunch of libertarians that got their medical card just like they got their concealed carry permit. I never did. You know, I just don't care. You know, so it's there's a lot of reason to be afraid, you know, but I'm just it's a choice. So my thing is that I'm if we go through, you wonder what the net benefit is when at the end of this, see, we're ruled better. It's okay. We're ruled better in this particular instance. Government works. I'm going, no, government comes in and they do what they have to because the people are rising up. And it's going to transition into more and more of the recognition of I own myself and I can provide for my own health care. I can cure my own diseases. I can eat better. I can do diet. I can get supplements because under your mentality, what do? Exactly what's happening in Europe. They're trying to regulate supplements. And this is going to, just like they, well, we regulate marijuana, we should be able to regulate vitamin C. You know, so I'm just, I see it's the mindset of this. I am way more.
Since we're talking philosophy here,
yep.
Philosophical points.
Yep.
I happen to live in a 2-acre hard scrabble place up in Mojave County that I make myself and I make my own rules. But when I want to interact with the city library or go to town, I got to get on a road and I got to be part of the system that's here.
But you will never, ever have me advocating for the limitation of an individual's pursuit of happiness, their life, their liberty. I'm not going to advocate. It may be a tactical decision. It may be a method by which we want to try and free it. It may be, you know, we can even get a little freer or we can, you know, move the ball or something like that. But never, ever have an advocacy for the right for the government to do it.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
Okay, any philosophical challenge, I am going to go after it like you wouldn't believe. I am never going to allow this show ever to be the use of we longer chains. Now, if you want to talk about the actual provisions in the initiative, I'd like to get to that. But the one
talk about whatever you want to talk about, but you're the one that brings up this topic, so I just respond to them.
Yeah.
I've got to respond.
Yep, not a problem. Okay. Expect a response to the reply, okay? Now, the one thing that we're doing on the initiative itself and compromise to, I guess that's why the other one was done, was people that have already been previously convicted because the prison industrial complex, you know, doesn't like it because they got, you know, we got to have some money. And if they look at their balance sheet, a large percentage of the government's revenue and the money that they're making in the prison system is due to marijuana arrest. And those go away. They are freaking out. And they want to definitely transition by keeping the people that already got their 1, 2, 5, 10, 20-year sentence, and they're going to keep that money. So here the other people come in. I can understand that. What other compromises are there? What about law enforcement? What about revenue streams to police departments?
There's going to be a Department of Marijuana Enforcement and Control in one of the initiatives. The other does not have that.
Okay, all right, well, let's talk about that, and you can explain why, you know, okay, all right, we'll talk about that and see how the man's going to make his money off of this, because I'm, you know, damn. So you can understand, from my perspective, yeah, fine, you know, it's better, great, you know, pace, I don't care. But I am never going to advocate for the ability or the purpose of government to, like, own my body. That's where how we got into this problem. That is exactly how we got to where we are right now, is that attitude, that mindset. And I'm going, you know, and you're never, ever going to get me. That's how we were able to get a lot of changes on, you know, the mentality of firearms, on medicine, on medication, on supplements, on, you know, marijuana, this Ron Paul Love. I'm the one that created the Ron Paul Lovolution logo. When you saw that all over the place, it started here with us. And the thing was, is that we knew how powerful this mindset of freedom for the individual was. I give you the Lovolution. All right, here we go.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And just a gigolo, and everywhere I go, people know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance. Oh, what they see. There will come a day, and youth will pass away. What will they say about me when the end comes?
I know those are just a gigolo.
Life goes on without me. And just
just out there, you know, selling whatever I choose to sell, some freedom. That is a gigolo for freedom. You'll pay me to do that freedom thing. Okay, now there's some other provisions in this initiative that include law enforcement. Because I guarantee from the beginning, in the negotiations in the beginning, or we were doing shows from the beginning, it was all about, you know, getting everybody on the pay. How can we get everybody on board and kind of support as if I wanted the government on board? So they're going, you want to get us on board? Well, there's got to be a revenue stream of enforcement if we got shiny badges and officers and going around with clipboards and we kind of, you know, regulate. And I'm like, all right, so tell me all about that, Michael. Michael from Arizona's Normal, all right? Michael Weiser, Arizona's Normal. Go ahead and tell me about the law enforcement and their cut.
One of the provisions has one of the two ballot measures has a provision for Arizona Post certified officers to be a marijuana department of marijuana enforcement and control. And it is to basically regulate the business of growing marijuana once legalization takes place.
That includes my 6 to 12 plants?
It does not. It includes people who are trying to sell their 6 to 12 plants for a profit instead of consuming it personally or buying a license. The both ballot measures take the under-the-table market that millions of us know and break it down into 5 different industry jobs where people can buy licenses to grow marijuana, to trade in marijuana like a commodities broker, to manufacture products out of marijuana, whether it be cookies or concentrates, to test marijuana for its purity and control, you know, the quality of product that gets out to the market. And then there's the retail license itself for being the distributor, you know, to the general public.
So what's the penalty for me growing my 6 plants and selling half of it to my neighbor?
That falls right back into the state existing statutes.
Death! Death and damnation! Okay, all right. So there's still going to be, you know, you're free with this permit.
You're free with this permit. You need to stay within your limits, however, according to either of these laws. Both of them have felony provisions that kick in for possession, one at 2.5 ounces, the other at 8 ounces. And then in both cases, you default to state statute, which is imprisonment 2 to 10 years, depending on the amount and the severity of the crime.
Okay, how is this negotiated with law? How did they negotiate a number and how, you know, see, it's freedom numbers. It just, it you know, amounts. I don't call that freedom, but I, you know, I understand, but we got to get it from out from under the rock in the light of why would I want to do that? You know, it's called Silk Road or something. I mean, I just, you know, I bypassed the whole shooting match. And so but no, we're going to put it and have it government approved. And I'm going, okay, well, we have government approved, and I'm just wondering, you know, they're going to use law enforcement, people that they believe or even suspect that may not be operating with a license, or they sold it to their neighbor, or they had six plants and the helicopter shows, and they thought they were free and they're going to get a visit.
There will be people who do that, yeah.
Now they're going to get a visit.
Remember, we're dealing with millions of people, means millions of possibilities of how folks will act. Right. In states where we have legalization efforts, which are similar and actually a little bit more restrictive, I'm talking about Colorado, Washington, Oregon, et cetera.
Yeah.
We see Alaska's the et cetera. We see that arrest rates drop 85 to as much as 95%.
Yeah, but they don't have these kind of restrictions.
This is going to help.
Well, they don't have these kinds of restrictions. In Colorado, I grow, I sell, I'm done, right?
No. In Colorado, you grow, you sell, you go to jail if you don't have a license.
Okay.
It's an unregulated industry and regulating it.
Okay, where is the unregulated...
In the libertarian approach, this is taking an unregulated... people and put them into the collar. Really, it's going to do that.
Yeah.
All the folks are wanting to stay illegal, stay outside the law. This is your chance to get into the system and become just
Yay! Okay, well, so you're looking at the legislation is how many pages? How many words are we looking at here?
The MPP is just under 10,000.
Oh, my God.
AZFMR is close to 19 because it rewrites state statute 3405, which is the existing laws on cannabis.
With it that being that long, are they not going to go after it for single issue thing? I mean, you're going to have a bunch of different. You have that many pages. You got more than one freaking issue, and they're going to say, multiple issues. Boom. Next.
No. I'm going to give some credit to Heather Azizi, the original author from MPP. Her basic structure stays within the parameters of focusing on legalization. When the AZFMR added several of their bells and whistles, they might run into this conflict that you're referring to, but the MPP's was designed to stay focused on the one issue.
All right. Well, I got here, let's see. Possession, felony, 4 months, 2 years. If it's over 2 to 4 pounds, it's up to 2.5 years. Sale, one. You know, there's a lot of, if you don't get your license, you know, that you're talking about, there's still, hell, paraphernalia is up to 2 years. All right. So we keep, none of this is...
neither of the ballot measures, both the ballot measures and any prohibition on, quote, paraphernalia.
Oh, thank goodness. All right, that's better. Heck, that's a good support right there. All the other stuff, yeah. You know, is kind of, yeah, blah, blah, blah. At least they, you know, decriminalized glass. That's good. Oh.
That was good. I like that joke.
Well, you know, I mean, you need to have our position out there to give you cover. You know, that we went through this in the late 90s. As we're sitting, we'd have exactly this conversation with the people in support of the other initiative. And we're going, no, we can't support. Well, we need you. I go, no, you don't. You want us to be an opposite. You want us to be crazy bomb throwing kind of, I can't believe you would, you know, be this tyrannical and the blah, 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 blah. It makes you look moderate. You know, this
you know, that's so funny because I am, I have a lifelong reputation of being not the moderate. I've been in...
On this show you are.
I know, right? I've been in the public eye since I was 30. I'm 57 now. And people have always talked about how I was the dangerous extremist that they were worried about. And you make me feel like George Bush, dude. I love it.
No, it's effective. And it's true. And it's what creates the moral... high ground to attain. I mean, the whole thing is that this is like, yeah, but the king allowed. I remember, a very similar issue is we started about 5-6 years ago, 7 years ago, we started doing chickens. And we just, testing it. One of the most popular articles on our site, been up 10 years, was our first egg. Donna put up the egg. I mean, it went stupid. All of a sudden, last year or year before, the legislature's going to allow you to have some chickens in your backyard on a statewide level. Oh, my God, we're free. Oh, the Caesar has said, you know what? We're going to let you have a couple of chickens. Aren't we the good guys? As if I gave a crap what they said. It's a whole different mindset. And it's this mindset of the proper role of government to defend the rights of the individual, my life, my liberty, my pursuit of happiness. What's that? Whatever the hell I say it is, as long as it's not bothering you. So this concept of, well, you can pursue your happiness along with this here piece of paper. I'm going, no. But, I think it gets on the ballot. It'll pass. This is going to be the new kind of, but do I even want to take the risk of planting 6 plants? How much regulation? How many clipboards am I going to get? It says right here, you have 6 plants. We get to come inspect and make sure it's 6. We want to come visit with you. Oh, you want to be a gun dealer? Oh, you got a sign right here. Or you didn't sign. Oh, you're just meeting with your church friends. You're going to have a little meeting here. Well, you're a church because we said. Why? We didn't do a 501. Yep, but you got people meeting in the name of the Lord. We have a regulation for that. This is just that mindset. So our goal is to make Michael look the moderate, and the legislation gets passed, and maybe, people will learn something. Well, I'm all about learning something.
I'm all about learning. I'm a school teacher, like I say. I left school teaching to work on this to teach the public.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and doing this, but I'm telling you, this argument, us on this, I've been through this. I've been doing this since 88. What's that, 28, long time, okay, years. And I've been every iteration of, I remember back when Bill, back in the 90s, I'm sorry.
Bill Green.
Yeah, Green. Back in the day, we've been, working on this together for freaking ever. But, of course, he's hardcore libertarian, and it was all, principle kind of thing. Then when it starts to become an industry, then when it starts to be popular, then when you got, the Corporation Commission is not deregulating the solar use of the kind of, the industry just files an initiative. We're going to go whip some ass. Fine, I'm hip. But their interests are not mine. Their interests are financial. Their interest is, how much can we make money and what can we do in the people in the name of, a little bit more, a longer leash. And I'm going, nope, not mine. Where we can overlap is, this transition of people seeing it's not that big a deal. But I'm just going, I am never going to advocate, certainly as a libertarian, I don't even vote. I'll run for office all the time, don't care. But I don't trust the system. I don't trust what they're going to do. Hell, they did it last time when they first legalized it. They just changed it anyway. So I'm just going, it just doesn't matter. It is, they don't lead, they follow. And they follow an understanding of the people as a principled understanding. And no matter how many examples you can give, no matter how much an entire generation of love evolutionaries get it on, the Federal Reserve or monetary policy or military or anti-war or you own your body. It doesn't matter how much evidence you can give people of the support, where it is and why, of an entire generation. They still hold to the idea, but we need the government lab coat badge gun approval. And I go, no, you don't. But for those that do, at least this understanding is a foundation of you get that support and it makes you look moderate, which is my job.
Yeah, I just told my wife, he says he makes me look moderate. She said, good.
Yeah, so it's effective. I've been doing, we did this 20 years ago. The same exact result. So much so that 76% or whatever it was scared the crap out of them. But it didn't make any difference because they take their orders from on high of I give you the Sanders-Trump election. I mean, we went through this before many times. And then here comes, it was the Ron Paul years. And they're going, yeah, welcome to the freaking club. You think you're in charge and you're not. When this gets through, once you put it on the ballot, I guarantee there is going to be an immediate court challenge on some multiple issue thing of poison pill of your negotiations that you went through. These guys put something in there that they already know they're going to challenge. I guarantee guarantee it. It's going to be whether you're successful or not, or you got the money to defend it. And then it's going to be, what are you going to be left with? You're going to be left with the principal argument.
You know that's true. I know that's true. Maybe we have different standards for what counts as progress, but my, I was a history teacher. What I've seen of progress, it's always been people slogging through this bull crap that I'm going through this year to try to get 5 feet. And if I'm 5 feet further when I die, then that's 5 feet further that I made, and I'm happy with that.
No, I'm hip. I'm hip, but it's just, it doesn't matter how high you get up the ladder if it's on the wrong wall. You know, I just want to make sure I'm on the right wall here. I'll take a lower, you know, perspective and make a slow ascent until I get at least on stand on top of the right wall. So I'm just going, that's the role that we play, and we'll keep, you know, promoting and having, talking about and doing, walking this through. But I just, I already know where this goes, especially if you've been negotiating with they, them, those, because I guarantee this happened with the initiative. The same people that did the marijuana thing back then funded also the elimination of Arizona's income tax. Remember that? They had it on, and the man, they went after it. And as soon as they filed it, immediately they go, yep, here is this one provision. It's another issue. Because they also added something like all congressional candidates must declare that they want to do away with the federal income tax or some BS like that. They go, multiple issue done. Well, who are the people that insisted that? Some people that gave a little money. Yeah, here's $10,000. Here's $15,000 to put this in there. Yeah, we want to help in peace. We're with you in a coalition build of whatever. And the second they put that in, it was a poison pill that they went after later. And they were warned by it. By now, federal magistrate Judge John Buttrick, that was our 94 libertarian candidate, and got appointed to Superior Court by Jane Hull. Why? To get him out of politics. And he warned him. He said, look, they put this in here so that they can nail you later. That's exactly what they did. I don't even have to look at your legislation, and I guarantee if you're negotiating with the government, these agencies, they already set you up.
Well, remember in 2010 when legalization, when medical passed, they stalled its implementation for 2 years in the courts. We expect that.
Yep.
I expect that even when this passes, even if it passed with amazing numbers, we're going to have to fight to get it fully implemented.
If you have the fundamental, you know, passion behind the people of, hey, the FDA is freaking lying sacks, the CDC freaking lying sacks, of the research and the NIST, the technical blather lying sacks, they're all lying. And when they see the revolution start to rise, and all of a sudden, here come the legislators, you know, we're gonna fix it and get in front of this parade, or not. I sat there and watched this happen. You'll never get guns, you know, decriminalized in Arizona. Oh, my God. Then we have Bloomberg wants to come here and do the anti-guy. Go, bring his ass on. And the second he gets here, what am I doing? We got 25,000 DVDs we're going to pass out on New York subway. Are you sure you want to come here? Be my guest, buddy. So this is like, we're activists, man. But we go at it from a totally different perspective, and that is the foundation under which you're going to be able to be successful. And if you don't have us making these kinds of arguments, then it's, well, I guess if they just didn't feel like freeing us this time, and we'll get ruled more until someday somebody does something. No, it's a revolution between the ears, and I'm not going to put a wet blanket on it by saying, well, you know, the revolution is you get ruled a little bit better. No, hell no. So that's why I do this. It's not just a strategic, you know, kind of view around. It's a tactical thing too. It helps you. So I'm glad we had this conversation. We got to get to know each other a little bit. I'm supportive of this, you know, effort just for the education. But from the beginning, when they were talking about negotiating with law enforcement, the regulatory agency, I'm going, I already knew that they were going to plant. They're going, yeah, you'll get our support if you do this. And that, whatever it is, I didn't even look at it. I spent 5 minutes on it. I guarantee I can find what they're going to challenge you on. So I'm just going, yeah, whatever. So did we learn anything? I don't know. We're going to find out. But as we get the signatures more, and certainly when you file, we'll get you back on. And I'm glad you came on the 420 and I could, like, express myself. Well, I got to get to my next hour. Thanks, Michael.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. Oh, I hate these conversations. I have to, man, you know, I kind of like it, but, you know, I don't want to poo-poo anybody's effort to get off the couch and they actually did something, but I'm just, from the beginning on this marijuana thing, and we've been going through this for over 20 years, it's been this argument. It's been, yeah, but we can gild the cage a little bit more. We got velvet and shag carpeting, and we can. I'm going, yeah, I'm not feeling any better. You know, this is, and I remember the publicity pamphlet for the general election they have here in Arizona. It goes to all registered voters, and it probably costs gazillions of dollars, millions of dollars to do this thing. And but they charge, you know, a nominal fee. I think it used to be started at $15, and now it goes up to a couple hundred to whatever. When they have an initiative or you have a comment about anything in support or opposition of a proposal that's on the ballot, and I think you can do it for just about anything. I mean, you know, you can say, you know, this candidate, whatever. I can't even remember. It's been a long time since we've done it. But in the 90s, we would, the libertarians, that's one thing that we always spent our money on. Because whether you had a candidate to vote for, a libertarian or not, you at least had the publicity pamphlet just giving our opinion on all these different initiatives. This one sucks. This one sucks. This one's good. This is why. This is got, you know, and as individuals, you can do that. Hell, we could do it as, you know, freaking Freedom's Phoenix from Freedom's Phoenix, publisher Freedom's Phoenix. You know, we probably do that. You know, hey, Donna, do me a favor. Put it in the calendar. Make it to the end of August to remind general election publicity pamphlet third week in August for us to do that, to, you know, make sure for the general. So we'll go ahead and we'll do at least one or another, maybe even the marijuana thing. What? You're going to have them regulate? Oh, my God. We can't do all the libertarians against it. We did it before. Made them look moderate. A lot of people go, yeah, okay, well, this seems reasonable. At least they're not the crazy people like total elimination of the drug war and, you know, and moms, you know, giving LSD tablets to shut up their babies. I mean, you know, it's kind of, you know, along with they had their AK-47, some whiskey and car keys to the, you know, to the, you know, the 3-year-old. I mean, you know, and of course they, you know, bring all this stuff up. And I'm just going, you know, it's not about that. If you don't have the government regulating everything, people like be free to do whatever they want. And oh my God, we can't have them doing anything they want, pursuing their happiness any way they want. Oh my God. So I'm just like, okay. Well, we had the presidential debate yesterday between Austin Peterson and Daryl Perry on the Libertarian going for the nomination there. And of course, Austin Peterson is like, yeah, all you crazy libertarians that you would just, you know, be out there doing any and everything. You can't have that. You know, you can't make a freedom to, you know, like starve your children. You know, it's just, I mean, all these straw man arguments keep coming out and they don't understand. They do understand. They just want to get elected, you know. They want to pass whatever it is they want. They want to create an industry. They want to do at the sacrifice of we've got, you know, shiny bat. You voted for it. You said 3/4 of, you know, the legislature to change it. You got to have, you know, once it's ingrained, you're going to have the Gestapo marijuana plant survey and, you know, gendarmes of we get the look. You know, you said right here, you're kind of sort of almost free. We saw this happen with the BATF. In the early 90s, used to be a federal firearms licensee. It was a FFL. It used to be anybody and their grandma could do it. You filled out the permit and you kind of filed with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and EE Explosives, I think they added. The BATF and BAT, yeah, whatever, them. So you go in and you said, you know, we want to be able to sell firearms. I will go in, I buy them. They come to my house. I have somebody that wanted it. They do the paperwork. I do the paperwork for them. The direct tramp kind of theirs. Done. I bought several firearms that way from libertarians that I knew that had an FFL. I go, he goes, hey, man, there's this one guy. I remember one particular. It was, I think he called it a CZ-52. You know, so this is on record, so it doesn't matter me saying it. A CZ-52, which is a 7.62 by 25, I think. Now, if you go 7.62 by 39, that's the cartridge that you fire in an SKS or an AK-47. So it's the same diameter bullet, but it's a little bit shorter for this particular pistol that it was very past called a Tokarev round. And the reason that we wanted them is because they were only $110 for the sidearm that was used in the Eastern Bloc as their 45, okay? This is their, you know, sidearm for Battle of I Got and whatever, it's their 45. Well, it had such a high velocity in the diameter of the bullets, like a 30 caliber, the velocity of it would penetrate body armor. It was the only handgun at the time that we knew a rifle will go right through a Kevlar vest if it doesn't have a ceramic plate or something. So we're just like, cool, I got a handgun that can penetrate body armor. And it's $110. And okay, just out of principle. What the heck, I got one. I don't really like it. I don't use it because it's kind of, you know, clunky, and I don't like the way the same kind of, you know, Soviet, Russian, Eastern Bloc of a hunk of metal of I'd prefer to use the other stuff. But that's not the point. I want it because. Because it has a, I think the round, it's like 1,800 feet per second, which is like double a 40. I mean, and so it has a lot of kinetic energy. And when you shoot them compared to the other guns, it is more powerful. It's like, you know, more than a 40 cal. I'm just going, wow. And we were learning about this in the 90s. So he goes, hey, I can get them for $110. You know, as a dealer, bro, we buy, so he bought a bunch of them. A bunch of them went, okay, we got one. Done. Go and get it done. Fill out paperwork. All legal and everything. Done. So what did they do? The city of Phoenix and the different valley, this is national. They do this everywhere. And we started walking it through here, paying attention. The cities would go, hey, you can't have a business operated from your home in a residential area. You're not zoned for it, can't have it. So wherever it's illegal for you to have a business out of your home, sorry, we pulled your FFL. You're not allowed to have this package come into your house to sell and do the paperwork for us and kind of be legal and go, because it's illegal in your municipality to have a business. Don't even have to reference firearms, just business. So then what happens? Anybody that here around here, they park their plumber's truck. They're an electrician. They got, nope, got a business operating from. Are you taking, is your business phone line going in there? You don't have a business address? So who, of course, is in support of this? Well, you know, it's, you know, the real estate guys, commercial development, the blah, blah, blah. You can't have a home business as I'm sitting here on 2 acres. I have a car lift that's not working. Everybody's going, wow, man, you got that work. It's got to go. I don't care. You know, I mean, it's like work and money. It's not mine. So they have a car lift, an actual jack. You pull it right here on my property by my barn. You go in there and it would raise it. Because 20, 30 years ago, the people that first built this over here, they had a garage here. They operated a garage when this was freaking out in the desert in North Phoenix of on the corner of, oh, my God. You know, this out there was no, I remember we used to, when I was a kid in the mid 70s, riding my motorcycle past these farms up here, and the desert was right past it. The only thing that was out here, anything, was a Circle K a mile down the street, and that was the edge, and then you went to the farms. That's why I always knew this place was here, because I used to, as a, you know, 14-year-old, you know, we're kind of side saddling at 30 miles an hour. No, really, I'm pushing my bike down the road, you know. So we'd do that, go out in the desert, go riding, ride the canal road, get up to here, 51st down, boom, we'll go out in the desert. It was right here. Then it got built up. When this was out in the middle of the nothing, what were they doing? They had their own businesses. So when you want this regulation kind of stuff, there are unintended consequences. It gives the, hey, any business, any growing, any, they will interpret this way. It's not freedom. Well, it's a little bit better, and I get to, you know, get high and not worry about, and they might not. They're going to, you've just created an entire law enforcement industry if we rule you, and where's your plans? So I got my aquadome over here. Hey! How many of those are tomato plants, and how many are not? Anyone come visit me? We'll find out.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay. Calm down. Okay, this is the role that we play. The no compromise of freaking kiss my butt, because somebody's got to. There's the other people who that I don't know. They're not, which is why, they're coming to us and negotiating with us and want to work with us and get the approval of and our sanction of we're participating in kind of what we're calling BS. I said, we'll participate in your whatever the heck it is, your PR campaign of kind of more than they should choose of freedom or something, but we're going to definitely have our say and it's not going to just endorse what you say. Not going to happen. Because if we did, then our endorsement or our opinion would have less value. It just doesn't. If you're just working to be able to work with them, it's kind of, why? Because they'll find someone else that has the label, the credibility that they believe, and get them to do, then we'll just get somebody else's. You just knock yourself out. Let me know how that works out. So this has always been, it's like, Ernie, you and your people. And I'm going, no, there isn't. They're not, anybody's people. It's people that think this way. People that are representative of. It's just the only reason that we get that is because we have a big footprint. It's the newspaper and the website and the campaigns and, the funding center and the marketplace and yada, 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 advocacy of new tech that be a coming that will make this irrelevant. And that's one thing that was the big challenge to the man for the Silk Road. The Silk Road made government irrelevant. There is no regulating if you don't know of the cryptocurrency that we just shipped and kind of next. And there's a 50 gazillion others out there and so on. And here it comes. Open bazaar. I think, isn't Derek coming on to this week, Donna? Oh, never mind. She'll figure it out. So what we're going to do is have, more talk about open bazaar. Open Bazaar is a mechanism by which you can have your own store, but it operates as an app on your computer. So as long as your computer is on, your store is on. Well, what if you turn your computer off? Well, Derek and Drew hooked up with an app, a hosting service for them to do that. In fact, upgrading all the hosting computers, the servers, and the kind of, last night we went upgrade. Upgrade, because there's a lot coming, and it's really all about this philosophy. It's not a particular piece of legislation or a candidate. It's not about that. So when you have a Libertarian Party candidate that's up there doing exactly the conversation, that's one thing, my criticism of Austin Peterson running, he's just very, you're going to be governed. We've got to have a little bit of government of being governed. We be in charge of the government. And I'm going, yeah, that attitude, I'm not, no. So Daryl Perry, I'm going, yeah, I prefer this perspective. I prefer challenging the role of government, not how we can influence them to rule us better. It's stinking thinking, man. The revolution's between the ears. It's what you advocate. Did you drive on the roads? Yeah, but I'm advocating. I get to have my freaking 3D space version of go up flying car. I vote that. Oh, I got autonomous cars. I got an autonomous car driving around on the highway, trusting a computer as I got car 2-3 feet from me going at 60 miles an hour in the other direction. And that's okay. But I can't have a flying car that's automatic. I just push a button. It takes me. And at least the only thing I got to worry about is crashing into the ground. Okay. I do that. So this is, it's just a mindset. which is why I do the in the first hour of today's archive, you go watch my bit, and it has for 89 cents, you can watch my presentation at Anarchapoco. And I'm going to be doing an expanded version of this and all of my presentations of, you know, what I see and why and the future of that I'm going to be doing at Porkfest. So this is, there is so much to be positive about out there, and it has nothing to do with how long the leash is. I'm just, no, hell no. And I give you examples. Here's some stories, all right? We'll go over some of the stories here on Freedom's Fans that are popular. Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson, President Andrew Jackson, has successfully fought back and fought and won, kicked that button, no more central bank, because we've had, like, the Federal Reserve is, what, the third, fourth reiteration of a central bank in America? I mean, it's always the bankers trying to get, you know, and fighting what they do. They ingrained it in legislation and constitution and the IRS of the kind of, you know, a funding mechanism for a central bank of Jekyll Island of we rule you. You know, 100 years of we rule you. I care not who makes the laws, it's who controls the money. Well, and you got a bunch of wars to thank for it. Andrew Jackson saw this. He fought the central banks, and they put him on the $20 bill, which I thought was interesting. And now he's to be removed from the $20 bill as... You know, a public concern for liberty. You know, they want to erase that. The war on cash has many fronts. The latest battle is for the face of the currency itself, and the central bankers, who control the front anyway, have imposed a symbolic defeat against the leaders in America's past who have fought against the stranglehold of the moneymakers. Naturally, there are liberal politics at play, fighting for every inch of ground in the war for ideological reengineering. It's all ideological. History is being whitewashed. Various figures of antiquity rolling in their graves. At stake is a dispute for the powers of government, even better than the more famous duel between Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton, of whom we also speak. The iconic $20 bill with the face of President Andrew Jackson and the $10 bill with the face of the nation's first Treasury Secretary, Alexander Hamilton, have long pitted two ideological extremes against each other as they pass along as some of the most used denominations in circulation. So we have the 10 and the 20. They're kind of on opposite ends. We got, you know, the Secretary of the Treasury, which happened to be, who's for that? Hamilton. I care not who makes the laws, it's the money. So Hamilton, we get the Constitution, you know, what does he do? Secretary of Treasury? You know, Aaron Burr, you know, kills Hamilton in a duel. And the joke I always heard was, you know, Aaron Burr should have been shot for taking too long to shoot Hamilton. I mean, that kind of, yeah, ha-ha. So there we go. All right. But now the money powers at the Treasury Department have decided that it is time to add a woman's face to the money supply as well. As such, the powers that bank have decided to oust Andrew Jackson from the lineup, and with it, part of his legacy. It will be removed in favor of a female representing the struggle for racial equality, according to CNN. So there'll be somebody, I don't care. So this is, I'm like, it's a Susan B. Anthony, they tried it on the dollar coin, it was like the size of a quarter, that didn't take off. But now they're going to put on, take Andrew Jackson off. Why not Hamilton? Nah, I'd rather take Andrew Jackson off. What does he want? I always thought it kind of weird he was on their money. What, they go, ha-ha, it was like a stick in the eye. I vote, take Andrew Jackson off.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
There's one day and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. There's a world that's happily dark and cold, where blues won't haunt you anymore. With a brave heart, free lover's soul, ride with me to the distant shore. We won't hesitate, break down the guarded gate. There's not much time left today.
Life is a highway.
talk about my flying car. I'm telling you, man, you go to the Pork Fest, I'm going to flying car you up. You know, it's going to build up to, kind of, we're going to have us some fun because, damn it. I think, you know, people, man, they need to know the technique. Go on the freaking front page of Freedom's I'm going to show you right now. Damn, God, freaking rock and roll and whatnot. You know, go to freedomsphoenix.com, and you go up there, and you say, yeah, what am I looking at? I'm going to go over here and on the left side. When I interface with it, but we'll do this. Go. Come on, go. There we go. On the left side right here, top tech news. I mean, just boom. How we're going to get free. And you just click on the word Top Tech News, that hyperlink there, and it's just page after page of all just tech. Just tech. You know, just kind of, ooh, SpaceX, their landed Falcon 9's on a road trip back to the Kennedy Space Center. Yesterday, it's probably already there. They go ahead and they lift it up off of the barge where it landed out in the middle of the freaking ocean. 9 engines, the first stage, are we going to reuse? And what does Elon say? Yeah, it landed. They go and weld down the feet. You know, they run and go, ooh, hurry up before it falls over in the freaking 50-mile-an-hour wind. I'm like, give me a break. Anyway, it did it. So they go ahead and they take it back to port. A crane, you know, lift it up from the top. They just put it over. They lift it up, fold up the legs. Then they laid it down on the trailer, and they take it back. They say, hello, here's the rocket. They're going to test fire the engines 10 times just to make sure they relight and light and don't light and back and light and light. And then they're going to go ahead and take it and do what? They're going to reuse it again. When? Within a month or two, you know, by June, you know, probably May, June, they just pull that bad boy up, they go lay it down, and they go rock and roll and whatnot. So I am just like, very cool. Here's a little video of it. We just watch that. Now they just, you know, have it on their Twitter feed. You know, there it is. See, I had no idea it was that freaking big. That thing is like, God, 10, 15 stories high. You got a big tractor trailer there, and it's like you could fit inside of this thing probably, I don't know, 10 of them, 11 of them. Imagine it's like, you know, you could put 10 tractor trailer, not the trailer, just a tractor, probably 10 of them inside this, the rocket body, and it's hauling it with its 115 billion wheels back to the, you know, Cape. Okay. Well, mostly, they could have landed back on land, but they wanted to do, they had much more, you know, fuel and more, the window is larger and the likelihood that they'd be able to make it work if they went out in the ocean. But they could have brought it back. I mean, some of these they can't. It's just so fast and so far to go in geosynchronous orbit, they have to land it out in the ocean and then bring it back. So this is means a lot. And how many times can they reuse this? How many times? Well, I don't know. Because he doesn't, they go, I don't know, 1,000? How many times do you use a 747? He goes, we can probably go at least, I don't know, 20, 40 times before we have to, like, I don't know, because they get hot coming back. You know, we might have to, you know, like, polish off some, you know, melted something, you know, after 20 or 40. But he goes, no, these are made to be reused. That was the point. And I'm going, not just twice. Well, the first one that came back and landed on land, they're putting in their SpaceX headquarters. Better have a freaking big-ass headquarters. But they're going to bring that in and do... Okay, so that's just because I wanted to show you. All right, so let's go back to the front page and see what else is going on. Oh, this is one that was popular on the site today. Ancient Peruvian mystery solved from space. Now, you hear these, what do they call them? The Nazca lines? Was it Nazca? The Nazca. In the desert area of the Nazca, you know, you have all these different... shapes in the desert. You know, you'll have all of these. We'll go through the headlines up here in a little bit. But you have all these different shapes. There's like a tarantula, and there's a, you know, the other animal, and this and that, and these lines that go off into the distance. And they started finding out that this is part of their water system. There was, they could see that they had a subterranean water system that went from one place to another. And from space, you could kind of see the system and how they used the airflow of wind to drive the flow of the water. Kind of what? You know, I skimmed over that and I'm going, wow, that's cool. I need to give this some more attention because we live in the desert here. I'm going, okay. Well, there's a lot. Oh, the primary results in New York. Yeah. 58. to 42. Hillary Clinton over Sanders, 58% to 42. So she gets like, 177 delegates, and I guess Bernie gets 105. So that was, they kind of split it by vote, I guess. So, Hillary wins, but, Bernie wasn't too far behind there. Now we have, in the Republican primary, the way I have it set up, Donald Trump got 61%, John Kasich's 25%, and Ted Cruz 15%. I guess you say bad things about New Yorkers, they don't vote for you. So Ted Cruz kind of took a thump in there. So we have in New York, projected winner, 88 delegates. Kasich gets 3, and Ted Cruz gets his zipnada. So this is a big thing for Donald Trump. I'm sure they're touting that. Will he get still to 1237? I don't know. And it doesn't matter. Even if he does, they're going to screw him anyway. So this is, I'm suspecting that, Trump is going to do something else. He's not done. He's not done. One thing that is of interest, I probably shouldn't play it on the air because it's, profane, F Donald Trump, F Trump, F Trump, F Trump, F Trump. And the one that they have in here, the story is popular on the site. It's, I got a chopper in my trunk for Donald Trump, and it goes on saying different things about the likelihood or the benefit of his assassination. And I'm going, if you would substitute Trump for anybody else, they'd freak out. Be censored, can't have it up there. Oh my goodness. Now it's all free speech. And it's just this double standard. It's amazing to me. Well, there's other people, trying to free. Is this a free themselves opportunity? I want to describe to you what's going on here, and you'll see my perspective. Zed Pod would turn parking lots into sustainable communities. I don't know what they mean by sustainable, but you have a parking lot, and what do? They raise it up on steel platforms and build homes. They're probably, they seem substantial homes. You have, a solar roof on, goes over both of them, provides shade for underneath. Hell, they can, they park underneath. That's their parking. And you got extra parking for a whole bunch of other people in the nearby buildings. And this is a downtown thing. The prototype Zed Pods recently displayed at EcoBuild Green Building event in London. Now, one of the things about they're really also going to turn parking lots into housing, and at least this provides for some parking, but a lot of them, they're building downtown and changing the code of no cars. You just got to use public transportation, which is fine, peace, I don't care. But, it's always based on what they want to do instead of what the people just want to do with their property. I'll give you an example. When we had our pizza restaurant, it would have been a lot better. We spent so much time there. We were just like, God, man, I wish we could just live in New York City or something. We just live above it, and we just walk down. Hey, the rush is on, kids. Put down your homework. Come help me make some pizza. Something like that. Nope, illegal, not allowed. Why? It's a zoning thing. They want, you got to live in the suburbs and drive your car in the traffic jam if you're not allowed to live. What? Why?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Show you, there's some other opportunities for us to be able to be free, not have to worry about it, but we got to understand what's going on. Let's go ahead and go through just some of the, the freedoms. Go to Freedoms Phoenix. Get the free newsletter twice a day. Just, scan through. I know it's a lot of stuff, but we just, hit the highlights. You know, get the link to it. We have a mid-page. You can do the comments section. We got all kinds of stuff that we've worked on for 10 years to make this a tool for you to use in expressing yourself and the freedom philosophy to others. And I'll show you here in just a second. But let's go over some of the top things I've had up here for a few days. I just want to make sure we get to. One, what the Fed, IMF, are really engineering. Their goal is to create instability. This is on the crap hit the fan plan.com, shtfplan.com, Brandon Smith. Since 07-08, the globally intertwined and dependent fiscal system has suffered considerable declines in every conceivable area. Manufacturing around the world is in a slump, from Japan to China to Europe. And the minimal manufacturing accomplished in the U.S. is also fading. Consumption is falling, most notably in petroleum and raw materials. Employment is truly dismal, with the U.S. posting over 94 million people as non-participants in the national workforce. Damn, it's like a third of population, or just like 30%. That's like a lot. High-paying jobs are disappearing, and the only jobs replacing them are in the low-wage service sector. This problem is becoming so pervasive that certain more socialist states, including California and New York, are attempting to offset the loss of sustainable income jobs by forcing retail and service companies into paying an inflated minimum wage. That is to say, states hope to stop the bloodletting in wages by magically turning low-paying jobs into high-paying jobs with the law. How's that going to work out? Badly. I guarantee it. Then we have Wendy McElroy. It's been a while since we've had her on. Now, maybe we can tell, she had, you know, what sports can teach us about politics. I haven't read that yet. I set that over. I will read that later. Quantum cryptography breakthrough may lead to more secure communications. This is, and it's not just for they, them, those. I mean, there is so much that people are just, and we're over here now. And we don't want you to, and we don't care, and we're private and family, and you can suck it. You know, that attitude, that philosophy, that opinion, that you should even be able to do that, is, you know, what the battle is about. Oh, no, well, then you don't want us to surveil you? Well, you must be a terrorist or baby porner or something. You know, you must throw kittens in the cactuses. Can't do that. Well, it's going to happen anyway, so they can just get over it. Dutch referendum may have unleashed European continental crisis. Now, the bottom line is that there is Euroskeptics, or the ones that want, nah, this European Union thing didn't work out. We don't want to do that no more. So we're going to be at, well, Brexit, you know, which is the British exiting of the European Union. Now, they were never part of the Euro monetary, so they still had the British pound and all that stuff, I think. But they didn't want to do that. So but they're part of, in another way, the European Union has about 15 gazillion different levels of, we had a video up here that explained the different levels of different countries. What about their territories? Are you using the Euro when you're Malta and the island of the colony of what? I mean, it's just so ridiculous. And it's just more and more and more law. Make enough laws, everybody's a lawbreaker. So a lot of people are saying, nah, this experiment, and we're done. Now we want to leave. Ah, that would never happen. That would never happen. We know that never happened. Well, the Dutch decided, nope, damn, we're done. We don't want to be part of, we don't want to play, we vote against something. So then what happens? You know, they're trying to scare them, and if you don't, then the Russians will take over, and we have to, well, what the hell was NATO for? Which is total waste too. This whole thing of collectivized bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until finally you got one world government is coming up against individual, even nation states. I mean, just can I be Italian? I just want to know if we, down to the individual. And this philosophy of the individual is what's going to trump all of this stuff. Well, we just got to keep singing that loud as we can. You watch what happens. It's an opinion. The DNA sequence behind muscle regeneration begins to unravel. A closer look at the mechanism driving these remarkable regenerative abilities has suggested that they could be recreated in mice. When the scientists involved hopeful it could ultimately improve her capacity to regrow damaged body parts. So when you have certain lizards and so on, are able to regrow limbs and tails and all this kind of, they're starting to go, they need to be able to get into the DNA sequencing behind the muscle regenerate. How come it doesn't do it? I'm sure there's a reason why. Yeah, we shouldn't do this because this capability will have some happening and you get a brain tumor or something. You know, you got to kind of trust God or Mother Nature or evolution or whatever to kind of, you know, eat this way because of that. But if you can hack it, if you can, you know, regrow a limb, that would be better than not. So I'm going, okay, so this is kind of, if they can do it, how come they can do it and we can't do it? Let's do it. So that's starting to, you know, they're starting to make progress there. I mean, damn, how cool would that be? All right, so let's go ahead. Just a couple minutes. We'll go over some of the headlines. Enemies everywhere. Everywhere. The U.S. war on the world. All right, well, this is Ron Paul says, a YouTube, a top Freeman's Phoenix. Go get some. Orwellian reality. Big Brother watching you on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The U.S. Central Intelligence Agency has become increasingly focused on monitoring social media. According to a document obtained by The Intercept, the intelligence agency is pouring money in startups running tweets, Instagram photos, and Facebook posts. You know, there's one thing, what do they call it, InGen or something. It is the investment arm of the CIA. Somebody's got a great idea and doing they can use and they want, kind of, hey, you know what, we're going to fund your project, I give you Facebook. Yeah, we're going to want to be part of, just make sure that you can kind of, we get a feed of something. United States intelligence community, surveillance grid, they're investing in kind of your app on whatever. And this other next app, I mean, next internet, I'm telling you. This will all blow up in the Fed's face. This Peter Schiff warns. Trump's right America is going. Euro-Pacific Capital's Peter Schiff sat down with Alex Jones last week to discuss the state of the economy and where he sees everything going from here. Of course, they don't want to talk to him on the mainstream media. The media so last century. Oh, here's a Gordon Brown in the UK. Gordon Brown proposes an international children's court. Yeah, how about shutting down British wars first? Why don't you do that? Globalism proceeds apace. Last week, Western leaders took aim at financial privacy and suggested an international register that would list the beneficial owners of every private corporation worldwide. But this week, and yet another international judiciary effort of, we need children court. Well, it's for the children. Don't you love children? I thought you liked children. So you want international everything in the name of the children or against terrorists or we're all going to die plague of. I mean, man, it's like V for Vendetta. You need to watch that again. I'm sure you probably watched it a lot. V for Vendetta. Go watch it. And you can see the fear that they have to do. The media. I want everybody to know why they need us. And then all of a sudden you start seeing all these stories. Why? Because it's a psyop. Beware of the bull. Equity boom has no basis in economic fundamentals. What they're talking about is the Dow went over 18,000, and they keep changing who the Dow is, and that doesn't mean anything anyway. But I'm telling you, if we're set up, it's like, and here comes the crash. You ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Yeah. Retail demand for organics is exploding so rapidly that Costco is actually lending money to farmers when they produce organic food. This is, you know, Costco is like, man, we're getting in on it. Yeehaw. What's Sam's Club? Sam's Club is Walmart. You know, you have Costco and Sam's Club, kind of the same warehousing kind of thing. You know, I'm like, yeah. Who makes the decision? Who makes the decision on what gets done? The market does. That's why support your favorite Freedom Tech a little bit. Go get some Bitcoin. Now watch my bit with Bitcoin of a video or something. Just a little itty bitty little baby bit of you demonstrate your support of freedom, and it just happens. Why? Because there's a market for it.